Two very fine actors making return appearances on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Robin Lord Taylor from Fox's Gotham. Who's he play, Kevin?
The Penguin. Thank you.
No, the character's name. What's the...
Not going to do it again.
He plays Oswald Cobblepot. He'll be joining us on the program today. And our old friend Tyler Labine from Hulu's Deadbeat at 7 o'clock as well. First, though, Kevin, you got a new girlfriend to introduce us to.
My Strange Addiction is the best show ever on TLC.
Pretty strong.
These people are just straight insane.
Now, I have to ask, because you've watched a lot of My Strange Addiction over the seasons on TLC, which again stands for the Freak Show Network. Is there any chance this is all fake? The guy who has sex with the car, the woman who eats bricks, is it any chance that they're just making ha-ha for TV?
I imagine, of course, there's always a chance. But when you see them, you go, okay, either they're really good actors, and that's probably not the case, or they're just crazy.
So we're buying it. We're buying yes. This woman is in love with a carnival ride.
Starts with this music.
Yeah. My name is Linda. I'm 56 years old. I am happily married to a carnival ride called a skydiver.
Yep. She says proudly. By the way, I was watching this last night, Bean, and I got a tweet from somebody that said, I'm watching the guy that married his car. Are you watching this? I was like, no, I'm watching the woman that married the carnival ride.
I love that she's not only married to the carnival ride, she's happily
That's
married
true.
To the carnival ride.
That's very true. This is a Ferris wheel, and it's got like a barrel roll on it, so you kind of lock yourself in, and then you can roll the barrel, I guess, not vertically, but horizontally as it goes around on the Ferris
sure.
wheel.
Okay.
It's a very specific person. You don't want to get Bruce mixed up with anyone else.
His name is Bruce, and we've known each other since 1981. I don't want him to be a human. I don't want him to have those traits.
Someone's been hurt.
So Linda likes Bruce just the way he is as an inanimate object. Mm-hmm. And I
yes.
wonder if that's a power play for her, because she gets to decide when they see each other and how much time they spend together. And she also gets to go off and live her own life, too, I wonder.
Bruce is incredibly broken, it should be mentioned. Bruce does not function.
Oh.
Bruce is a pile of steel.
He doesn't work at all.
He doesn't work at all. No, he's in her backyard in a pile.
Bruce is not part of a carnival and she goes and rides him?
That's how it started. But you'll hear some of that later. But first, who else did she have a relationship with?
My first relationship was with an airplane. The last serious relationship I had before I met Bruce was with a locomotive.
Right.
That didn't work out.
How could that not work out? She was dating a locomotive.
She likes really big things.
She does. That's true. So she falls in love with Bruce at the carnival and immediately gets a job with the carnival so that she can spend all of her time with him.
When I was hired to work for the carnival, I pretty much spent 24/7 with Bruce. I took a leave of absence from the carnival and went to operate another ride temporarily.
Yeah, what do you think happened there when the sad music started? Bruce got injured.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Bruce got injured. And they put him out to pasture, whatever they do with these rides. And so she went to another carnival, and then she's recently gotten back in touch with him and then married him. So this is a very, very romantic episode.
How did she get Bruce, the broken-down Ferris wheel, moved from the carnival to, what, her house? Does she have it in the backyard?
It is in her yard, yes. They didn't really tell how she did that.
That sounds like a very expensive proposition.
It does. She also says that she spent $60,000 trying to rebuild him, and he's not done yet. He's still just in a pile of steel in the backyard.
Oh, man.
Well, I get that.
What does she like about Bruce?
Some women like tall men. Some women like men with a colorful personality. He's got all of that, you know. And to me, I mean, Bruce is just amazing when he stands up and just being spread out in all his glory.
Which he can't do anymore because he's hurt. And
right.
She's tempting fate now. She's going to another carnival, Bean.
She's cheating on Bruce.
She's going. She doesn't think it's cheating. But she's going to another carnival, and she's standing in front of another Ferris wheel, skydiver. She's standing right in front of another one. So how's that going?
I absolutely feel closer to Bruce when I can spend the nights being near parts of him that I can physically touch.
There's that. And how does the sex life?
Well, I mean, we were all waiting for that part of the story.
Sorry, what?
I've said, yeah, we were all waiting for that part of the story because some of these, you know, I'm in love with the inanimate objects don't go to the physical, but I'm dying to know what's going on with Linda and Bruce.
What Bruce and I do in our personal lives and out of the way, out of sight, out of mind is between us.
It's none of your business, Bean.
Okay, sorry.
But she did say parts of him that I can touch, so I can only guess, right?
She's rubbing up on him.
She calls her neighbor over, and I'm going to tell you what the neighbor says because it's hard to understand. She introduced me to Bruce, and I'm like, huh?
When she introduced me to Bruce, I'm like, huh? You know?
This is like Carney Heaven, by the way. These people are all insane.
So Bruce isn't back to his form
Not
in the backyard.
All.
He's
right.
Just in like random pieces.
Correct. Well, one big giant pile.
Okay.
So then she's visiting other carnivores.
I'm a very monogamous person. Right. I made the commitment to Bruce, and so I'm not going to jump the new ride in town and say, oh, I want this.
Right, because you're monogamous. Well, then why are you at another carnival?
But I know there's a skydiver behind me, standing proud and tall and just waiting for me to go over there and see him, and pretty excited about checking this out.
Sounds like cheating to me.
A lot of people have thought, is that cheating or being unfaithful to ride on another ride? Personally, I don't think it is. I don't think that riding on another skydiver is cheating on my husband any more than you going to a grocery store and talking to another man.
I got news for you, Linda.
First of all, you're not talking to the other skydiver. You're riding him.
Right. Hey, what part of Florida is this in, by the way? Did
How
they say?
How dare you? How dare you assume she's in Florida? You are an evil human being.
I can just bring this energy back to Bruce and say, yes, this is what we want. This is what we want for you. We got to get you back to this state again.
That's right. That's what men love, is they love to be told what they need to be. You can go tell Bruce if he's not standing up tall.
We love to fix.
Well done.
What does Bruce do for me? He completes the wholeness in my heart. Right. He's my soulmate, and hopefully we'll be together into eternity.
Where's she from?
I live outside of Tampa, Florida.
There you go.
Mr. Spock's son on the show next hour, Adam Nimoy, TV director, soon to be movie director. He's trying to make a documentary about his famous father, Leonard Nimoy, who's Mr. Spock on Star Trek. He'll be joining us, telling us how we can help. Also, we got TED 2 tickets for you today from Fox Sports 1. Jay Onright joins us on the program, and actress Carla Gugino. All coming up on K-Rock.
All right, this is a weird story, but go with us here for a second. In Kenya, there is a rhino, and it's a specific rhino called the northern white rhino.
Mm-hmm. And why the rhino? Got to be white.
It's not a wino, it's a rhino. But this particular one is the last male on Earth, and there's two females.
Uh-oh.
So you can imagine everybody's like, hey, this whole thing, they might go extinct if this. And the male rhino just has no interest.
Dude.
He's just not that into him.
Just not that into it.
He's living the dream life. It's him, and there's only two northern white rhino females in the world.
Don't
and
you
they
make
live
him
in the
fight
same
over
place
you?
As him. Yeah.
Make him fight over you. That's what I'm saying.
He should be a playa at this point.
Now, but part again, of the problem. Well, hold on. He doesn't have to be a playa because he's the only option.
Part of the problem is that his name is Sudan, by the way, which is very confusing because he lives in Kenya, but he is 42 years old, which is old for a rhino. The two ladies that are there in the park are 15 and 25, mm-hmm. and they have not been able to get it going. And there's a very real concern, as Kevin mentioned, that this animal is going to go extinct. We've lost, you know, quite a few animals over the past, 150 years since we've been paying attention to stuff like this, and they're doing everything they can. Now, Kevin, you may have read more on this than I have. Why, if it's not going to happen naturally, why is artificial insemination not the way to go, or some sort of way that they could just harvest and make it happen in a laboratory?
I believe they're trying that as well.
Yeah, they're
so
consulting.
Far, they're trying everything.
Nothing's sticking, huh? Well, we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, who can we talk to? And believe it or not, Sudan himself, the last northern white rhino in the world, can talk to us on a telephone, which is very impressive. Hi, Sudan. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, Sudan, you sound exhausted.
I'm not exhausted. I'm just old.
Okay. Okay. Well, listen.
Damn women. Nag, nag, nag. Oh, you sound tired. Shut up.
I hear you, Sudan. I hear you, brother.
Are you with me, fellas?
We are with you.
All right.
So, look, what's the story here? You're the last northern male white rhino in the world. You don't want the species to be extinct with you. Why don't you get on this and make it happen?
Well, a lot of people say, aren't you concerned being the last of your kind? And I say, I don't give a rat's ass!
Wow. So it's no big deal to you if there aren't any more, because you'll be dead, so it won't affect you.
Exactly. I'm tired. I just want to watch my stories.
Sure, I understand.
I like to kick back.
What are your stories?
Sweet tea and watch a little television. Is that so much to ask at this stage in my life?
Well, I don't think they're asking you to, you know, to go around the clock, but they just want you to do it occasionally.
Well, they say, why don't you mount one of these females?
Right.
I say, why don't you mount me right here?
That's what you say,
I want to watch some Sports Center and just relax, take a nap. No, have sex with these females.
Now, are the females being mentioned that one is 25, one is 15? Are they attractive?
They're okay, I suppose, but they're dumb.
Well,
they don't get any of my references.
What?
Try to talk to about what's happening, and then let's look at you funny.
Yeah, well, they are a different generation, Sudan.
That's what I'm saying, different generation. And where were these young rhino girls when I was young? All they wanted was the black rhinos.
Oh, well.
They have bigger horns.
Oh, I see.
Well, who's laughing now? Me!
Sudan, let me ask you this, because I wondered if this was playing a part. You also, because of the fear of poaching there in Kenya, very serious problem, you also have a full-time human guard with you. Now,
I do.
Does that inhibit you a little bit?
Very nice fella named Mike.
Mike. Okay.
And he's a very nice fellow. We hang out and we have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he's there with a gun to make sure nobody tries to poach me.
Okay, well, that's good.
It is, but I wonder who's trying to poach old white rhinos. That's what I keep asking. Mike, where's the danger, Mike? And he says... I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but he smiles a lot, and that's something.
I love that the rhino speaks English, but Mike, his handler, does not.
I don't know what Mike's got going on, but maybe Mike could take on one of these female rhinos.
I don't know. That they're not looking for that kind of
action. That's not what we're
Well,
that's
not what I heard about in Florida.
So you don't feel any pressure your whole species, it depends on you.
I don't like my species.
You don't?
Oh.
They're a bunch of dumbasses.
Okay.
And they're slow, and they're wrinkly, and
right.
they don't smell so good.
Okay.
So maybe it's just the Lord's way. Maybe it's time to thin the herd down to nothing.
Well, I'd be sad to see that happen, but it's your choice, Sudan.
It is my choice, and my choice is to just lay down and... If I want to give my sperm to someone, it should be my choice. They keep coming to me saying, oh, we're going to try in vitro fertilization.
Yeah, they're
trying
to
go into this office and choose from a selection of magazines and DVDs and just fill this cup. And I say, I have no hands.
I never thought of it.
Right, how's a rhino supposed to help himself? All I have is these hooves. You ever grab your penis with a hoof?
I never have. No
day at the beach, I'll tell you that much.
We're going to talk to a man named John Marshall next hour who lived with lions, and I mean like 100 lions. And I think were there also cheetahs and tigers and all sorts of other big cats as well, too. He was part of a film that you can see in theaters called Roar. And it is a fascinating, fascinating story, and I can't wait to talk to John next hour. First, though, Ralph, I'm glad you're in here.
Yes!
You brought us a story a couple days ago about the ABBA theme restaurant
going
to be opening up in Stockholm, Sweden here recently.
Stockholm,
soon,
Sweden, home of ABBA. We have a restaurant where they do singing and dancing of all the ABBA songs.
And by the way, this is Bjorn Ulvaeus, who is actually he was one of the bees in ABBA. He's one of the four guys in ABBA who's behind this restaurant.
He was the second bee.
Was he the second bee?
He was the second bee, yes.
So when you go to this restaurant, you'll sit down, you order your food, and then the waiters will be singing and dancing ABBA songs while they serve you in the restaurant.
Take a chance, take a chance, take a chicken chance, chance, take a chance, take a chance, take a chicken chance.
Would that that be a place you guys would want
to
go?
Hell to the yeah!
Not even a tiny bit.
Come on!
I might want to see that.
Yeah.
I think. But it doesn't sound like you can turn them off.
Yeah, what if they're slow bringing your food and you go, stop singing for a second.
But if they're singing Dancing Queen, bring in your chicken piccata. Yes. That's awesome.
That's terrible. We did talk
Allie and I are going.
We did talk to Ralph at the time, and he has been a singing waiter.
I was all singing, all dancing, all sexy waiter, yes.
And we did not know that about you. Tell us again what the circumstances were.
I'm trying to remember when this was. I guess it was in college. I worked at that time was a brand-new restaurant on the Delaware River. It was a boat. It was a floating restaurant that would go up and down the Delaware. It was called the Spirit of Philadelphia. And all of the waitstaff, it was part of the deal. You had to sing and dance as well as wait tables.
And you do that to gain experience because you're interested in performing, right? You want to be in show business. That's why anyone takes this job, right?
Well, not really. You're not going to be discovered on the Spirit of Philadelphia, but there was a bunch of us who, like myself, I did a ton of musical theater in high school and in college. And we were all trying to make a buck, so a lot of my friends and I, we went on this thing. Because, look, you're going to wait tables anyway, right?
Right.
You'd make a few extra bucks, first of all, per hour, because it was a specialized gig. And also, your tips were better, because people would tip you based on your performances and stuff.
So. What was it like after you started it? Like was it fun? Did you look back on that fondly and go, that was great?
Well,
it seems like a nightmare to me.
But, you know, like a lot of restaurant jobs, especially when you're younger, it's just a great group of people and everybody's sort of banging everybody else and you're out there drinking after the shift is over. I mean, it was a great time in my life. The job itself was a bit of a grind because it sounds fun because we're performers anyway. So you think, well, I got a chance to perform as well as do this straight job. But what you don't realize is that a large part of the evening was sort of an organized up with people kind of medley that you did with all the other singing waiters and waitresses.
Right.
And boy, that gets old after about the second week of singing. Fame! We're going to live forever! And you got the jazz hands going. Excuse me. And you're doing the whole production number and everything. After a while, you're like, all right, this is the cheesiest thing I've ever been part of.
So would you say you hitched a ride on Riverboat Queen? I couldn't even get it out.
Wow.
It was so bad.
That was awful.
We would like to talk to you if you have been or are a waiter or waitress that sings.
Singing waiters and waitresses!
Are there, the phone number is 1-800-520-1067. Are there any places that you guys know of in Southern California where they have singing waiters or waitresses?
Michelli's. Michelli's is famous.
Michelli's is what?
Where's that?
Michelli's is in the Valley.
Valley. All right.
And it is well known for their singing waitstaff. Many of them sing opera.
That's horrific.
It's not
that
horrific.
That is a terrible dinner.
Beautiful voices and many very talented people.
What was your favorite number to sing, if you remember, Ralph?
I think we talked about this when we first had the conversation. My big solo number. Everybody had to do part of the, you did do the group show, where we all had our choreography and we did all our numbers, including Fame. I'm not kidding. We used to open with Fame.
Oh, dear God.
But then you also had to do it throughout the night. They would call up the wait staff and you'd do a solo number.
Okay.
And my solo was
Wheel in the Sky keeps on turning.
Wheel in the Sky. I said,
it's a short number, but you really nailed it.
I would bring down the house. No, I did an oldie song from the 50s called Sea Cruise by a guy named Frankie Ford back in the day. Mm-hmm. And it was a peppy, upbeat, short, little rock and roll oldies kind of thing.
And you're on a boat.
I was on a boat, Sea Cruise. It was appropriate, and people would sing along and clap and everything. It was a big crowd pleaser. I would make bank off of Sea Cruise.
But you wouldn't literally be carrying drinks and stuff singing. It was a set-aside little stage area
where you would put down after you served your course, you'd go up and perform. Yeah, but there is people. I think Michelli's, they do it well. They're actually waiting tables as well.
Hmm.
Wow.
Do you think they take requests? Like, could you ask them to sing a song and they would sing it for you? At a place like Michelli's, do those restaurants have a preset?
Yeah, they have their own stuff that they do. I mean,
menu of songs.
Yeah, I suppose you could if you wanted to. But
I'd like to have a dinner salad.
What's the best tip?
I want you to do some Journey.
What's the best tip you ever got?
Quit singing.
Because that would be... No, I was for a birthday. It was for a lady's birthday, I remember specifically. And it was a request situation where she said, I was doing Neil Diamond songs at the time.
Okay.
And they had heard me do one of my solo songs. I did Sweet Caroline. She said, it's Forever in Blue Jeans is my wife's favorite song. I'll give you $100 if you'll sing that.
So I went up, like, all right.
I went up to the band. I said, you guys know Forever in Blue Jeans and G, boy. That's it. and I did that. So $100 for a song.
That's pretty strong.
Request.
That's impressive.
In the day, that was pretty good. Yeah.
You didn't miss that job when you left, though.
I was ready to go.
Yeah.
At the end of that engagement, I think I had explored that opportunity to its fullest.
I feel like being a waiter or waitress comes with its own sort of nightmarish properties because you have to deal with people.
Yes.
And people can be dicks.
Yes.
And that seems like that would already be a strain on yourself.
The upside of this thing was everybody would load onto the boat, right? And then you would leave port. And then you would serve the meal, and then you would perform stuff, and then the boat would come back, and then people would get off. So it was really only like one seating, so you didn't have to deal with people all night long. That was another advantage of this gig, was that it just had to, like, you'd do a lunch cruise or a dinner cruise, but you only really had to deal with one group of people for your entire shift.
Plus, they were trapped, so they couldn't leave during your song.
Exactly.
Unless you heard a big splash, and you knew you weren't going over very well. Yeah.
All right, Chris, you hold on. Daniel, you hold on. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I don't think we've ever had this conversation before, but we want to talk to you if you are or were a singing waiter or waitress. Your call's next on K-Rock.
Who ordered the soup?
Ralph Garvin's got his nose in the air here because he's just a better singing waiter than any of these singing waiters on hold, he says.
Just because you sing at your restaurant doesn't make you a singing waiter.
We were talking about the new
Dabas. No!
The new ABBA restaurant opening up in Stockholm, where the waiters and waitresses will be singing ABBA songs while they serve your food. And that kind of got us on the topic of singing waiters. Ralph was a singing waiter in college back in Philadelphia, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, Ralph, let's go to your ultimate foe, Eric in Santa Fuita, and just clear the deck, get him out of the way first, and then we'll move on to some others.
Yeah, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
What's going on?
You used to be a singing waiter.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You worked at Farrell's, the ice cream place?
Yes, sir.
And you had to sing when people ordered what?
They ordered the zoo, which is like the biggest ice cream thing you'll ever see in your life.
I thought you just had a siren and you pounded on a drum and did flips.
On a stretcher.
I'm sorry?
Wasn't it on a stretcher?
Brought it out.
It's basically two people hold it and then you put it in a hole and they run around the whole restaurant for everyone to see with the siren going.
Right,
right.
And how much singing is that?
Right. What are you singing?
At the very end of that, you would go to whoever had ordered it, and most likely it was a birthday, and you would do, there was like five or six kind of songs that you would sing to the person of the birthday, and you get the restaurant involved and stuff like that.
So you would basically sing happy birthday to them?
No, you would sing different things, like we had a sort of a military chant, where one person says something and it gets repeated back, and you kind of sing it along, and there's a bunch of them.
Right, but this would only happen in this instance. You wouldn't sing ordinarily otherwise.
No.
Okay. Mm.
He's a specialist. He's
not.
He's a designated hitter, is what he is.
Not up to snuff for Ralph.
Not a singing waiter.
Wow.
He's saying he was a waiter who sang.
What if nobody orders the zoo that day? Then there's no singing. I had to sing every goddamn shift. I was singing my heart out. I was doing group numbers, solos, duets.
So no one
my ass off.
All right, sorry. All right, Eric.
Denied, Eric.
Thank you for the call. You get nothing. Good day, sir. All right, let's go to Mark and Topanga. He's online too. Let's see if he's up to snuff for Ralph.
All right, Mark. Hi.
Hey, party people. What's up?
Singing waiters.
Tell me, Mark. Tell me your experience.
Okay, so I was working at a place called Chapter 8 Steakhouse out in Agora, and there was this eccentric millionaire dude who would come in and spend like $3,000-$4,000. He'd order the Chateau Latour, he'd order, you know, all this food and not eat it. He would just drink the whole time, and he loved Frank Sinatra, and I'm a singer. Uh-huh. And one time I was just like, I was humming near his table. He said, hey, what are you singing? And I sang him a Frank Sinatra song, and he tipped me $1,000.
$1,000?
Wow.
That's pretty strong.
And then he would come in once a week, and I would sing him a Frank Sinatra song, and he would tip me $1,000.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So you were a singing waiter for one customer.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Wow.
A very good customer.
Yeah, no kidding.
But if this guy didn't come in, you weren't singing at your restaurant.
Well, no. Well,
no, denied. Not a singing waiter. Get off my radio. Not a singing waiter. You're a whore. You're a whore who got paid by an old man to sing the song for him, probably while something else was happening.
What does a guy have to do?
Not a singing waiter.
Right, every shift I was there singing my heart out. Not one old man would roll in once a week. Give me $1,000 for one song. Please, one song.
Ralph is the only singing waiter in America at this point. All right,
so far,
Daniel. I feel good about Daniel in Costa Mesa. He's on line one. He's actually a singing waiter, okay?
All right, Daniel.
Good morning.
Well done.
Now that's a singing waiter.
Well done. All right, where were you working?
I was working for Macaroni Grill.
Yeah.
Where you were only supposed to be singing, actually, for people's birthdays, but what would happen is I started singing all these tunes every day, every time I would have a customer, if it was a special occasion, I would sing something, and the other waiters started whoring me out to their tables, and they would tip me extra for singing to their tables.
So you worked at a place and basically just went rogue. They didn't want you to sing.
You were not supposed to sing. You were just off the reservation. Just singing.
It's a strange
situation. Yeah, no, it actually turned out to be pretty cool. I got to be a part of a lot of special moments, anniversaries and stuff like that.
But you were the only one that sang.
And it was your own decision. No, you sang when you wanted to sing.
There were other people, but I actually was the only one who actually...
You made up your own singing schedule, singing whenever you wanted to, basically.
Well, I did.
Could you not sing if you wanted to not sing? Was that an option?
Sometimes I would.
Sure. Not an option for me. I was singing all the time, every time, every ship. I had to sing. Wasn't an option to not sing. Real singing waiter. Denied. Not a singing waiter.
Who knew it would be so contentious?
Well, there's singing waiters, and there's not singing waiters.
Let's go to James in Hollywood.
Okay.
Hi, James.
Good morning. Happy Aprilingus party, people.
Right.
Well, to you, James.
To you as well. Although, I got to warn you, this is very treacherous waters you're swimming in right now if you're not truly a singing waiter.
Mike, were you a singing waiter?
Well, I worked at Michelli's.
Michelli's!
Okay. All right.
I did. And I think one of the things Ralph did not touch upon was that you develop a following amongst people. They come in just to see you perform.
That's true. I've heard that about performers at Michelli's. That you'll get fans who will come in.
So they'll say, what day do you work and what time? And they would plan their meal around you?
Absolutely. And there was a group of older women. I was in my 30s. And they were in their 70s. And three different times I got a $1,000 tip.
I'm listening.
Whoa. Nice.
That was the biggest tip I ever got.
Yeah.
What was the biggest tip they ever got? Huh?
No, it did not go like that.
Exactly. What kind of music were you singing, though?
Well, I saved up so much money. That's how I bought my new Bugatti.
Oh.
My new Bugatti.
Oh. The one guy that tried to get a
Bugatti. Yeah.
That's how I bought my new Bugatti.
Kind of took all the air out of the room, didn't it?
Yeah.
Does every time, by the way.
Not a singing waiter.
Not.
Did we have none?
We had no singing waiters.
We had no singing waiters.
Sure. I am the only singing waiter.
Wow.
The cheese stands alone.
Who knew? Who knew we'd have singing waiter posers?
That was a surprise. I will not stand for it.
I was not expecting that.
You put in the work, man, and they just come in like Johnny Come Lately.
That's
to
right.
Glom onto some of the glory. Right?
Yeah.
Was anyone else surprised by how much Bean knew about the Westminster Dog Club?
How dare you? It's a big deal. Although I do, I think I'm with you on challenging whether it's actually a sporting event.
Not a sport.
I don't think it's really a sport. Hey, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. I thought this was interesting. You guys know that I am the healthiest person in the world, and I probably will live to be 150 years old.
Right.
Right? I mean...
Or you'll die next week.
Unlikely. I'd like to be one of those people who lives to be over 100, but stays in good health doing so. I mean, maybe that's everybody's goal, but I really am pulling for it a lot. Well, there's a list out of the five oldest people in the world. These people were all born in the, are you ready for it? 1800s. All right?
That is terrible. Do you want to be alive at 116 or 150?
I think you do.
You do
if you're in good health. I mean, that's the key, obviously. No, if you're just laying in a bed waiting to die, I don't think that's
How good a health can you be in at 116?
Misao Okawa is 116 years old. She was born in Osaka, Japan. She says she eats 3 square meals a day. Eat and sleep and you will live a long time. Plus, she advises that you must learn to relax. Gertrude Weaver is, by the way, they're all women because women generally live longer than men. So all 5 of the oldest people in the world are ladies. Gertrude Weaver is 160. She is the oldest person living in America. She lives in Arkansas. She was born on the 4th of July. And she says, be obedient, follow the laws, and don't worry about anything. Thing. All right. That's what she says.
All right. Good tip.
Geraldine Talley is 115 years old. She says her advice to live that long, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's my way of living. And Emma Morano Martinuzzi is 115. She lives in Italy. She has an interesting thing that she credits her longevity for. She says when she was just 20, a doctor told her to have a raw and 1 cooked egg daily. Which she does to this day. Every single day she eats 1 raw egg and 1 cooked egg. She also gets 11 hours of sleep per night. So those are just – that's some of the longevity tips from 4 of the oldest people in the world. And I believe we have the 5th oldest person in the world. Nope, this is Gertrude. Gertrude Weaver, we were just talking about, 116 from Arkansas, on the line with us right now on K-Rock. Hi, Miss Weaver. How are you?
I'm good. Hello. Good morning.
You're 116 years old. Is that correct, ma'am?
That's right. I'm 116 years young.
Now,
that's
pretty.
See, when I did that, I said young.
You said young.
That's very funny. Very funny.
The opposite.
Right.
It says here that you live in a care facility, but that you are still relatively active. What kinds of things do you like to do, Gertrude?
Well, I'm a big UFC fan.
What?
So I do a lot of cage fighting.
What? How do you even know what UFC is?
Oh, I'm hip. I know what's going on. I can shake it off.
Okay. No, this is a surprise.
All right.
Take it easy.
I have heard that, yes. You also say that it's your faith that keeps you going,
yes.
That you have to follow God, don't follow anyone else.
Yes, I believe God has a plan for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his plan for me is to do lots of cocaine and drink lots of vodka.
I'm sorry, what?
I do lots of blow.
You do it now?
I do it all the time.
Okay, take it easy.
I thought that was very bad for your health. I thought that's a recipe for dying young.
Well, guess not. But I find that if you do enough alcohol and drugs, you don't give a rat's ass about what's ailing you.
Okay, so your pain goes away.
Yes, and the world goes away.
Sure.
And all the assholes who live in the world go away.
So you're really not as happy as you were putting on. It's got to suck being 116.
Well, look, I'd rather be 26.
Right.
Than 116.
Yeah, I feel like more of your life may be behind you than in front of you.
But you don't have a lot of options.
That's true.
You get every year you get older. That's the law.
Yeah,
and do a lot of people ask for your tips on how to?
They do. They say, "What's your advice on how to live so long?" And I mm-hmm. say, "Do unto others as you would have done unto you."
Okay.
And all I right. also say, a glass is half full, not half empty.
Okay.
Okay, that's good advice.
A stitch in time saves 9.
I'm not sure what that means, but go ahead.
I say, don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Okay.
A lot of expression.
Good.
Don't gild the lily.
That's a thing people say also.
Don't know what that means?
I'd say a bird in the hand is worth 2 okay. in the bush.
Right.
Okay. I'd say you can live a long time if you just keep repeating BS cliches.
Almost swore, didn't you, Gertrude?
I almost did.
Come on.
Oh, Gertrude, this is not a pretty visual. Come on.
Gertrude.
At 116, that digestive system can't be working very well.
He's having a perfectly good day before this.
We're so close to getting out. So close to hanging up.
I've been waiting for that since 1958.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:52 in the a.m. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation, but yours truly, Ralph Smiley Garman, here giving you the best in show business news with the Showbiz Beat. It is Monday morning. That means that we take a look at the box office for the weekend. And number one, no surprise, Jurassic World still number one for a second week in a row, crushing it with $102 million in its second week.
What?
That's a second weekend. $102 million? It's huge numbers. Number two wasn't far behind it, by the way. Inside Out, the latest from Pixar, made $91.1 million in its debut. Saw that with the kid yesterday for Father's Day. Went out and had a little father-daughter time at the movie theater, and we had a good time. Stop it! I can have a heart. Don't you? How dare you? We had a good time, and then I went to a Mexican restaurant and got just hammered with margaritas. So I stayed true to myself. Spy was third with $10.5 million. Then San Andreas, Dope, in its debut, made $6 million. That was number five. Insidious, Chapter 3, was sixth. Pitch Perfect 2. Mad Max, Fury Road, was number eight. Avengers, Age of Ultron, at nine. And Tomorrowland, rolling it at number 10. That's your box office from over the weekend. Speaking of getting loaded, like I was yesterday for Father's Day, Jessica Simpson and her mom, Tina, apparently looking to get the family discount on rehab. Word is they're both going to check into a facility to dry out and clean up. Jessica's drinking is simply out of control, say insiders, and her Adderall habit isn't helping matters. Booze and Adderall, that sounds like a good combo. Word is her mother is also drowning her sorrows in vodka while divorcing Joe Simpson. Her husband, who apparently now plays for the other team. And she's trying to sell her daughter on the idea of the two of them going into a facility together. Thinks it'll be a win-win. A little mother-daughter bonding time in the old rehab. So we'll have to wait and see. But, boy, Jessica Simpson loaded. I could barely listen to her sober. I can't imagine what she's like. You're talking to her and she's all juiced up. Amber Rose is totally done with Wiz Khalifa. I don't know if you saw TMZ.com or not, but they caught her leaving a medical office called Dr. Tadoff's last Saturday. You may be familiar with Dr. Tadoff. He, as you can imagine from his name, takes your tat off. He removes tattoos, and she had a big bandage on her left arm that led to speculation that she had a piece of body art removed. There was Wiz Khalifa's face that she had on her left arm. Here's an idea for all you people out there in love. Don't get your significant other's face tattooed anywhere in your body. First of all, it's a bad look. But second of all, that will doom your relationship and you will end up in Dr. Tadoff's office and he will be lasering somebody's face off your ass. So, don't do that. Taraji P. Henson. You know her as Cookie from Empire.
Mm-hmm. Where's my piece of the Empire? I want some Empire.
She apparently is suffering from exhaustion. Well, can you imagine? She worked so hard on that show, eating all that scenery. She posted a close-up of an IV connected to her arm on Twitter on Friday, saying, don't worry, she'll be fine. God has a way of saying you're doing too much. Yes, well, you know how it is, how exhausting it can be to wear those Lee press-on nails and that weave and go out there and demand part of your empire. It's exhausting. You know those people out there who work for a living? Taraji P. Henson, who actually do hard work, labor, like 8 hours a day. That's what they do for a living, for very minimal money. Those people don't get exhausted. You're just walking around going,
where's my empire?
And you need an IV? Come on. Taraji P. TP, as we say. And this was fascinating, I thought, to me. Sony Corporation, as you know, was famously hacked. And WikiLeaks released more emails and financial documents and private files from Sony over the weekend. That's not good stuff. I mean, I'm not a fan of that. But I was fascinated by the fact that there was a document from 2011, which was a licensing agreement between Sony Pictures and Marvel Entertainment, that listed the characteristics that Peter Parker / Spider-Man had to adhere to in order to live up to this licensing agreement. And I thought it was fascinating. For example, in order to keep making the Spider-Man movie, Sony had to follow the following list of characteristics for Peter Parker and Spider-Man. He must be male, so that no time could they reboot the franchise making a Spider-Girl or anything like that. He does not torture. What, was there ever a danger of Peter Parker waterboarding Electro? He does not kill in defense of self or others, so Spider-Man can't kill anybody. Fair enough. Does not use foul language. Oh, I can see that. Does not smoke tobacco. Mm-hmm. What about the wacky tobacco? Can Peter get high? Oh, no. It says here, Peter does not get high. Does not sell or distribute illegal drugs either. Yeah, I don't think Spider-Man was going to hang in the corner and say, psst, psst. You want some smoke? You want some smoke, man? Does not abuse alcohol. Well, F Spider-Man, then. Does not have sex before the age of 16. Does not have sex with anyone below the age of 16. What are you worried about, Marvel? Think Spidey's going to start hanging around elementary schoolyards? Hanging on the fence? Psst, hey, kid. You want a Tootsie Roll? Come here in my paddle van. And this I thought was sad. Spider-Man must not be a homosexual, they put on the list. That makes me sad. Come on. Hey, aren't we better than that? Haven't we grown up, Sony / Marvel? Does it really matter whether Peter Parker likes the fellows or not? Yes, yes, Chip, you have a question. I see you have your arm is raised. Your tiny little arm is raised on the other side of the room.
Is emo dancing Spider-Man? That was okay?
I guess so, yeah. But where was that on the list? Tobey Maguire must not dance to Saturday Night Fever soundtracks and comb his hair down into his face like emo. That's ridiculous. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, June 22nd. Donald Faison. From Scrubs, so funny on that show, 41 years old. Bruce Campbell, you've got to love Bruce, 57. Randy Couture from the MMA, a legend, 52 years old. Our own Carson Daly, looks right down the hall here, 42 years old. Cyndi Lauper is 62, and actress Meryl Streep, multi-Oscar winner. She's the grand lady. Motion Pictures, 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I know it's hard to keep up with all the new TV. It seems like every time you turn around, something else is debuting. So we do the best we can to draw your attention to the shows that look the most promising. And this is one of them, debuting Sunday night, March the 1st at 10 on CBS. It is called Battle Creek. And one of the stars of the show, Dean Winters, in studio with us right now. In the
Good morning.
Show. Hey, Dean. How are you, man?
How you doing, Bean?
People raving about this Battle Creek, first of all. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
This pedigree, a show that is produced by Vince Gilligan, who, of course, we know from all the way back to The X-Files and Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, and David Shore, who created House. So you see a pedigree like that, and you're like, I'm in, right?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say no to that. If you do, it's pretty much career suicide. So, you know, Breaking Bad was an okay show, right? I mean, so...
Yeah, that was all right.
When I saw the script last year and it said... Created by Vince Gilligan and then written by David Shore. I was like, really? Yeah. So it was.
And
it was,
directed by Bryan Singer, by the way, the first episode.
Yeah, who did the Usual Suspects, which is really one of my favorite movies of all time. So it was, you know, I flew out here and I met them. It's hard to get me out of New York City. I'm a homeboy. I was born and raised in the city.
I hear you've been trash talking California. Is that true?
I never trash talked California. I made the mistake of saying that LA was soul crushing, but I didn't.
You didn't mean it in a bad way.
No, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I meant that in the best possible way. No.
Look, a lot of people agree with you.
No, it was, you know, it was for me, it was because I love LA, but for me, I came out here for 6 months and it was like being thrown into a cold river naked. You know, it was a culture shock, but I do really enjoy it out here. I want to clear that up. So
now you started your career, you mentioned you're a New Yorker. You started your career on NYPD Blue and Homicide and those types of things, right?
Yeah.
And did you move to LA because you got a show out there?
No. So I've pretty much done my whole career out of New York. I did the Terminator series out here about 8 years ago, but everything I've done has been in New York. And like I said, last January, it was so cold last year. And I got, you know, this call to come out here and meet with David and Bryan Singer. And so this job got me out here, but I still live in New York, and it was like a 6 month location. You know?
Gotcha. Yeah. Now, most people, if they don't recognize the name Dean Winters, most people, I would assume it probably used to be Oz,
and then
it was 30 Rock, now it's probably Allstate Insurance, right?
Yeah, it's Mayhem. It's like,
it's Mayhem.
You're Mayhem.
Yeah, my mom.
You're a terrifying person.
My mom calls me Mayhem. I can't get a date. I mean, you know. But, you know, it's been like, seriously, like that. This job has been like a roller coaster ride, a good one. It's such a great job. So
let's talk about Mayhem for just a second. Because
yeah, Absolutely.
Lots of people take commercials and it raises their profile. I mean, here's a perfect example.
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons, anyone who ever goes to the movies or watches TV has known about this guy forever, is a great actor. Now he's probably going to win an Oscar this weekend.
Definitely. Yeah.
But it was doing his nationwide ads that all of a sudden every single person in the world was like, oh, I know that.
Well,
dude.
You know, it's funny. He actually called me. He goes, you know, I think it's Farmers. Is it Farmers or Nationwide?
Oh, maybe it's Farmers. Maybe you're right.
He called me. He goes, you know, I got offered this Farmers insurance thing, and I want to know, how's the Allstate job? I go, take it. take it.
So what's that been like for you when you started playing Mayhem?
It's been amazing. You know, when the first week that we shot seven spots, and three of them were too violent. They actually never showed them. We've done.
Yeah, Mayhem's a dick.
Yeah, he's a dick. can you say dick? This is amazing.
I want to see those three. Those are the only three I want to see.
No, there's seven of them now. There's seven of them that they won't release, and I'm trying to get them to release them. But no, so the first week when we were making this, I was like, well, this is freaking crazy. Like, who's going to, you know.
It's awfully dark for a TV commercial.
It's really dark, but, you know, there's like a real kind of wink-wink there. And honestly, to make this making these commercials is seriously the most fun I've ever had. I mean.
Did you ever think you would say that?
No, I never, you know, I actually passed on the job when I first got offered it because my smart ass line was I became an actor so I wouldn't have to put on a suit and sell insurance. Like, that's what I told everyone. And I almost missed like the biggest boat of my life. You know what I mean? And luckily my manager, Bill Butler in New York, and Sandra Chang, they basically put a gun to my head and I took the job. And like I said, it's been the best. I think it's been 4 years now that we've been doing this.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is that why you got Battle Creek? Do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I know that Vince Gilligan was a big fan of Oz. But, you know, let's face it, Oz was 12 years ago. So yeah. I think the most relevant thing for them to see me in was Mayhem. And it's funny because on Battle Creek, I don't know if this just follows me around, but on Battle Creek, every episode, I'm getting the crap kicked out of me.
Yeah, it sort of does seem like that's your lot in life.
I get shot. I get attacked by Rottweilers. I get beat up by a giant. I mean, it's like every episode I'm in hair and makeup getting bandaged and bruised. And I just think this is following me around.
You've played a lot of cops over the years,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How is Detective Russ Agnew different from others you played?
Well, he's like the first cop I've played that really has like a lot of heart and just really seems to be a good guy. Not that I've played bad cops, but I did the math. I've played five cops, and every single cop has been a completely different guy. This guy's like from the Midwest. You know, he's not like a New York City bad boy. He's not any of those things that I've played before. There's a lot of heart with this guy. But he
sort of had the crap beaten out of him by life.
Yeah, no, he's a sad sack.
Right, yeah.
He's a sad sack and he's frustrated. And it just doesn't help when Josh Duhamel enters the picture because this guy, you know, looks like a Calvin Klein model rower, like Zeus God. And it's just like all of a sudden this world that I'm living in Battle Creek where I'm trying to make this industrial town that's just taking a hit. I'm trying to make it a better place to live, and I can't do it because our department's just like it's moronic. And then all of a sudden, Josh comes in. So it just, you know, you've seen it. It makes for a great relationship between the two of us, and that's where David Shore really shines is in the. I mean, I think banter is an okay word to use. In the banter between Josh and I and then the other characters, it's like the writing is really different on this show. You know, it's a buddy cop show about two cops who can't stand each other.
Right.
So I've never seen that before. It's like if Starsky and Hutch hated each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me just say one more thing,
and then we need to take a break. And that is that it doesn't – when I first started watching it, I thought, okay, here's an old guy that's been beaten up. Here's a new guy who plays by the rules. And they're the odd couple.
Yeah.
But you're right a lot of times. And then he's right a lot of times. Yeah. And it sort of surprises you both that the other one's right. I think there's more to it than just that odd couple.
No, exactly. And I think the beauty of this relationship is that at the end of the day, we're both extremely similar, and we both have the same objectives, but we just don't trust each other, and I hope that the show continues to do that if we go into a second season, because for me, like, Cheers kind of lost it a little bit when Diane and Sam hooked up. So I want to make sure that Josh and I never hook up.
Never hook up. I think that's good. I think that's good. Although he's so dreamy, it's hard not to.
He's such a dreamboat, isn't he?
Oh, my God. He's so dreamy. Yeah. All right. Actor Dean Winters is here. We're talking about the new show called Battle Creek. It's one of the best reviewed shows of the new season. It airs on Sunday night, March 1st at 10 on CBS. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. I'm sorry anyone had to hear that.
Don't move to the
East Coast.
It's
not
a
right
nightmare.
Now. It's one degree right now.
When do you have to go back to New York?
I'm going back right after this radio show. I know.
I left
New York on Monday, and it was the coldest day in the history of New York City. It was -1 degree, and outside of my building, it was -21 wind chill. I mean, it was obscene.
I feel guilty that it's sunny in 78 all week.
Yeah, I know.
But you're leaving that.
But I'm leaving that. But
that's rough.
That's a bad choice right there.
That is the voice of actor Dean Winters here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know him from lots of stuff, and you'll know him soon from Battle Creek, which debuts Sunday night, March 1st at 10 o'clock on CBS. You, by the way, I'm sure that you've taken some roles that you wish you didn't have to. I'm sure you've been in a few things that you're not proud of. But you have a pretty good nose for quality. I mean, I look at the stuff. I mean, like John Wick, that movie. Everybody loved that movie.
Was that cool? You know,
that was really good.
I love that movie.
You were on Rescue Me for its whole run, for instance. You know, 30 Rock. I mean, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I mean, it seems like either you've got a great agent or you've really got an eye for quality, my friend.
You know, I hired this homeless guy. He reads all my scripts and he chooses them for me.
He's a good dude.
We want to talk more about Battle Creek, but I have to ask just because I'm such a huge 30 Rock fan.
Yeah, of course.
Tell me about being Dennis Duffy on that show. Was it as much fun as I want it to be?
I mean, that job was so much freaking, I can say freaking, right?
Yes, you can.
That job was so much freaking fun, and I'll tell you a funny story. I got the call to go audition for it, and I was terrified because no one ever let me be funny. And so I go to the audition. It was a 30 Rock in New York City, and I open the door, and I sign in, and I look in the waiting room, and it's every funny guy, 40 years old in New York City, and every funny guy. And I looked at everyone, and I walked out, and I left. I went into Central Park, and my agent was in Europe, and his assistant called me. He goes, "Hey, how did 30 Rock go?" I go, "Hey, man, it went great." I go, "I'm not sure that, you know, I'm going to get the job, but it went really good." He's like, "That's funny because they're waiting for you right now."
And I go, being your representative.
Yeah. And this is the assistant. And I go, "Well, I'm not going back, man. I'm not getting this job." He goes, "Listen, if you don't go back, we're going to drop you." I go, "You can't drop me. You're the assistant." So this kid threatened me, and I went back and begrudgingly went in there. But the guy who was directing was this cat named Adam Bernstein, who I knew from Oz. And he really kind of walked me through it. And Tina took a shot with me because, you know, I didn't have anything in my past that could tell people that I could do this job, and it turned out to be honestly like one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. So,
it must have been so much fun. I mean, just that to be able to say that dialogue just as an actor must have been such a treat for you.
I mean, I would say did that just come out of my mouth. I mean, I really had some of the greatest. I think I really honestly, and I'm not being arrogant, I think I had some of the greatest lines in the history of television on that show. And I mean, and everyone did.
And you walked out on that.
Was that
you walked out?
No, you know what? I mean, can I say I was a pussy? Can I say that?
Of course.
I mean, I just didn't. I looked in this room. It's like if you were gonna go like try out for a basketball team and you walked in there and there's like LeBron and like, you know, everyone. It's like I walked in. I was just like, I'm not gonna get this job.
I'm not even gonna make the bench.
I don't want to waste anyone's time. You know. And so, but this kid, his name was Kite. He was an agent in New York, and he's an agent in New York now. And he threatened me. And I got this job because I was threatened. So
that's hilarious. Your instincts seem poor. Yeah. I got to be honest. Yes.
You want to take that back?
You also said in a recent interview, Dean, that Tina was also one of the people who was there for you after quite a long period of illness.
Yeah, I checked out for a minute. I had a rough ride in an ambulance, and I got my clock stopped. And I
when he says he got his clock stopped, kids, he means he was declared legally dead.
Yeah, and I was dead for 3.5 minutes. And you know, I spent like 2 months in ICU, and then I spent literally 2 years like getting amputations. It was a freaking nightmare. And I was told I wasn't going to walk again. And, you know, I lost part of my – I was just like – it was like as bad as it gets.
Wow.
And I remember Tina was super cool with me. And she emailed me. And she said, listen, she goes, whenever you get out of the hospital and you want a job, you just call me. Wow. So I got out of the hospital after like my 7th amputation, and I called her, and literally 4 days later, I was on the set of 30 Rock, and I had two casts on my legs and two casts on my hands. And she put work gloves on me, and they shot me from the waist up. And she instilled this confidence in me that I had lost in the hospital. And
just because she believed that you could do it.
Yeah, and I'm forever grateful to her, and I owe her everything. And then after that, when I was in the hospital, I was having... I was having my 11th surgery, and Allstate came to me with the job, and that's when I gave that smart-ass comment. But Allstate kind of reinvigorated that. They took what Tina did a step further, and
you're very lucky on so many levels.
I'm so blessed. So blessed.
And it was a bacterial infection. Is that what caused the original illness?
Well, I lost my spleen when I was a kid, and then I would get a vaccination every 3 years to keep me from getting strep pneumonia. And my doctor's nurse, I wish I could say his name on the air, my doctor's nurse forgot to give me my shot.
Oh.
And I just happened to catch strep pneumonia from a fan. I was signing an autograph for him on 8th Avenue, and he was coughing all over me. I'm like, yo, are you okay?
Oh, no.
And he goes, my doctor tells me I have pneumonia, but I'll be all right. And 2 days later, I died in the middle of Central Park.
Oh my God.
I was like, thank you very much.
Dean, does it change?
We've had this conversation with our listeners before, people have been in a situation where you were, where they were declared dead.
Yeah.
Did it change your life?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I don't want to sound corny, and it's not like I feel like I have to say this. But in some weird way, like the 17 surgeries and 2 years in the hospital and all that, just like hitting the pause button on life, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, because it gave me a fresh POV that I was – I got to be honest with you. In 2009, I was lacking that. I had gotten a little jaded, and I wasn't really super happy with my career. And I'm the happiest I've ever been right now in my entire life. So for that, I really do think –
That's beautiful.
If you go through something like that and you don't – come out of it a better person, then you should just stay dead.
Just stay dead.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We don't need you back.
Yeah.
Did you see anything while you were dead?
You know, it's so funny. Like, that's the question that everyone has. I'll tell you what happened. Well, I was in the ambulance. There was a lot of noise going on. My girlfriend was in the front seat. She was screaming. The driver was cursing because Central Park was packed. They couldn't get through the park on time. And the other guy was on – the paramedic was on top of me. And he was –
Then you hit Bono on his bicycle?
Yeah, we hit Bono. I mean, it was – and the guy's on top of me into the phone. He's like, we're losing him. We're losing him. I'm like, yo, I'm right here, man. I can hear you.
You could hear him saying we're losing him.
Yeah, and that's like the worst thing you want to hear a paramedic say. And then all of a sudden, everything went silent. But I could see everyone's mouths moving. I could see the lights reflecting off of the tunnel in the park. And
oh my God.
And then I heard a voice say, come with me. And I don't know what it was. I don't know who it was. Maybe I imagined it. But I heard this really dark voice say, come with me. And apparently I went with him, because that's the exact moment that I passed away.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
And then what – do you remember the first thing – when you came back?
When I came back, I woke up in ICU and I was frozen solid, and I was intubated because I was in a coma, and I came out of the coma, and there was seven people at the foot of my bed, and they were wearing contamination suits with long riot shields.
You do not want to see that.
Because nobody knew what was wrong with me.
Wow.
And in the reflection of the shield, I saw a black pumpkin, and I didn't realize that black pumpkin was my face. And I thought that I died and I was in space. And that these were all spacemen. And my first
that
thought
makes
was,
sense.
My first thought was, hold on a second, I'm in space and I don't get a spacesuit.
That was
my first thought. Yeah,
that is an unbelievable story.
It was my family and my agent were at the foot of my bed, and it was a miracle.
Wow.
It was a miracle I came out of the coma.
Now, are you likely? And I know we got to wrap this up here, Dean, but are you likely to be healthy now for the rest of your life?
Continue
to get your shot.
Oh yeah, no, I'm good. I'm more healthy now than I've been in my entire life. There was a period there when I. I wasn't able to do my thing, but I've been doing my thing right now. I buy box every day in Brooklyn, and I've gotten my swagger back a little bit. I mean, it's a little rough when you're missing a couple of toes, but
sure.
It's not the same swagger, but it works.
Let's play a quick clip before we say goodbye to Dean Winters here on the Kevin Bean Show. The new show is called Battle Creek. We really do recommend you tune in. It's Sunday night, March 1st at 10 on CBS. Now, your cop here, Detective Russ Agnew, has the worst name ever,
by the way.
<It's not good. laughs> worst hair ever, too, while we're at it, by the way, Dean.
Thank you. He has
a particular style on the street where the way he likes to interrogate people to get results, and it's in such contrast to the by-the-book that Josh Duhamel's character does. But this is pretty funny. This is you interrogating somebody on the street that has some information for you.
Okay, cool.
I'm not a snitch.
My name is Teddy the Snitch.
My name is not Teddy the Snitch.
Yeah, but we call you that. And we call you that for a good reason, because your name is Teddy,
and we pay you to snitch.
You brought us all the way out here. Which one is he?
Betty, if you're not comfortable, it's okay.
Seriously?
He's a short Hispanic.
They're all Hispanic.
No, they're not. That's racist.
How's that racist?
They are. I'm pretty sure the one on the right is Persian.
No, he's not.
That is a scene from Battle Creek, Sunday night, March 1st at 10 on CBS. Dean, I know you don't like being in L.A., but next time you're back, come in and stop by and see us, all right?
I've had a great time in L.A. this time. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Kevin and Bean Show at 106.7 KROQ here on a Thursday morning. Scott Aukerman from the comedy Bang Bang TV show joins us later on today. Also, we'll talk sports with Jim Rome and our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky as well. Hey, we're giving away the farm here today. Check this out. Incubus and Deftones winners for Maricel Hernandez from Oxnard. She just won tickets to go see them in August. We got more of those for you all day long today and throughout the week here on KROQ. And we're going to clear the rest of the lines now and open them right back up at 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to attend the KROQ screening of Jurassic World, you can see it on June 10th at AMC CityWalk. It opens in theaters everywhere on June 12th with the great Chris Pratt. It looks awesome. So call right now if you want to play a game to win your Jurassic World tickets. All right. Chet Hayes. Allie, you've been following the saga of Chet Hayes?
I have seen videos. I've listened to some of his raps. He's a treat.
He's terrible as a rapper, right?
He's kind of terrible on all fronts, yeah.
He's terrible as a human? Look, the truth of the matter is there are some hurdles to overcome if you are a white person who wants to do hip-hop music. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes wonder if that's fair. You can, you know, like Eminem is a perfect example who I think gets away with a lot because he did have a rough upbringing. He did grow up in a largely African-American community as well. And he's also one of the best rappers on the planet. So I think he gets away with it. Most other white people really have a lot of hurdles to get over to be accepted in the hip-hop community because that's not their experience. Their experience is not the hip-hop community.
Well,
experience.
He was raised on the mean streets of the Palisades, and his dad is Tom Hanks. So
exactly.
He's up against a lot.
So having said that, and we've made fun of Iggy Azalea for the same reason, of being a middle to upper class Australian who's pretending to be from the streets. Having said that, if you're Tom Hanks' son, it's really tough for you to be convincing as a rapper, I think. And he is really back in the news a lot right now. And this is not the first time this has happened because he insists on using in speech and in his raps the N-word. And we've just gotten to a point in 21st century America where we say nobody should be using the N-word anymore. In particular, white people. In particular, rich white people. Correct?
Yeah.
Here's what Chet says. We have reached a point where the word can no longer have a negative connotation if we so choose. Who's to say only black people can use it? The way I see it, it's a word that unifies the culture of hip-hop across all races, which is actually kind of a beautiful thing. But no one is buying it. So we thought, let's go right to the source and get Chet Hayes, Tom Hanks' son, whose real name is Chester Hanks, on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Chet, welcome back, son. How are you?
Yo, what's up, K-Rock?
Okay,
yeah.
But again, we've talked to your dad. We've talked to your brother, Colin. This isn't how you were raised. Don't talk like this.
Yo, man, this ain't about my pops. This ain't about my bro. This is about me, Chet Hayes. You know, in the hizzy.
But it just sounds like a ridiculous affectation, Chet. Why don't you talk like a person?
You don't know, man. You don't know what it was like raising in the streets of the Sades, man.
The Sades.
The Sades.
That's right. I was slinging yayo in the Sades, yo.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Walking the mean halls of Northwestern. What?
What is that where you went to the University of Northwestern?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like?
NW in the house. NWA?
Right.
No,
Northwestern.
Just NW.
Yeah, very different from
that.
Yeah. Tell us about.
Hayes representing.
Representing what?
You know. The Sades. N.W. in the house, in the hizzy.
Okay, you're not black. You're not really a hip-hop artist. You're just a 24-year-old douchebag.
Yo. You can't say, man, what I am. I know what I am. And I am a part of the culture of hip-hop that goes across all races. So I can say the N-word if I so choose to, because this ain't Jim Crow days, yo.
Right. That is true. And you can say the N-word. You don't understand that when people talk about free speech, the government is not telling you you can't say the X-word. You do have the free speech to say it, but there's going to be consequences.
Yeah, I say it with all love. You know, the N-word, when your white guy says the N-word, it's all love.
No, see, it's not. It's actually the opposite.
Oh, you don't know?
Oh, yeah, I do.
You ain't from the Saints? You don't roll no with my posse?
There's no such thing as the Saints. Quit Saints, calling it yo. That.
I had black friends at Northwestern. Yo.
Did you?
And what do they think about you using
they're
the
like,
N-word?
Yo, Chet Hayes, you da bomb, yo. I'm uh-huh. like, yeah, forget my pops. It's about Hayes. Uh-huh. Let me break it down for you.
Whoa.
My dad made big. I'm going to be bigger. I talk about black people. I say, nice to see you.
That was a good save right yeah. there at the end, Jerchet.
I don't get it. I don't have nothing to do with my pop. So stop comparing me to that old white actor, okay? I'm my right. own man.
Right, but you just were
I'm
rapping.
I'm like a dog. I got a bone. I stand in a league of my own. Yeah!
But, see, your okay. dad was in League of Their Own. So
what?
You're just bringing up things that your dad was in.
Nah, that ain't so.
Okay, I think so.
I enter the ring in a big rap battle. I stay awake like I'm sleepless in Seattle. Yo!
Again, if you don't want people to compare you to your dad, or don't bring him up in every lyric.
I don't even know what you're talking about, yo. These are my rhymes. These are my mad rhymes, yo.
Uh-huh.
Go to the toilet. I take a big dump. I run like Forrest Gump, yeah.
Plus, they're terrible, Chet. Okay?
Hold on. I got pot smoke in my lungs because I smoke so much weed, yo.
Sure. Cause yeah, because you're gangsta.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me start that one again.
Who's
rolling
your DJ?
In the street, rolling with the crew. Why do I do it? It's a thing you do.
Okay, seriously. You have to stop. Chet, you can't do this anymore.
You say stop. I say no. I conquer all like Joe versus Volcano.
Okay, that's it. We're out.
What a bizarre story that has come out now about Jimmy Kimmel based on our panel at South by Southwest. Dr. Drew joins us, as he does. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Why is it a bizarre story? You
well,
were there.
I was there. I'm the one that brought it up. But
here's what was bizarre about it.
All right.
My friend Jimmy Kimmel, this was, what, 15 years ago?
Yes.
Called me, asked to make an appointment in my office to see him urgently. There was a problem. He was unclear what it was. He marches in. I move aside all the other patients to make time for him. And dutifully behind him is Kevin with a microphone.
Yeah.
Marching into the little exam room.
Yeah, and Adam told me last hour he was there as well. I think it was a whole morning show.
No, Adam we've told the story enough that Adam was. Adam now believes he was there.
Okay,
Adam was not there with you, me, and Jimmy, and a microphone.
Okay, so that was 15 years ago. So cut to this past weekend, we're doing a panel in Austin at South by Southwest, and I bring that up, and Jimmy explains what happened, and to me, it's an old story, and who cares because we heard it so long ago. But since he's now Jimmy Kimmel Live and he's a TV star, everybody started picking up on it. And E! Entertainment did an interview with him and they were asking him about it.
It just kind of closed up on its own. I don't know why it happened. I still don't know why.
And it just opened one day?
No, I had to have an operation. Well, listen,
you had to have an operation on a hole in your penis?
Twice.
Now, Dr. Drew.
Did he talk about the spikes they drove down there? Remember he used to tell the story with such glorious detail?
Yeah, I remember. Was that just him exaggerating?
No. They basically put spikes down.
That happened.
Back up. They'd do it twice to him. Yeah.
Okay, take me through this because I have never heard such a thing. What causes your...
Well, honey, have you ever heard of sounding?
What?
Oh, my goodness. You guys should look that up.
That's
a new habit you guys will get into.
I don't think so.
The love line, for Christ's sake.
All right.
Anyway, listen. What this is a urethral stricture. So you can get all kinds of things that can happen, irritations and whatnot, and your urethra from your bladder to the tip of the penis can sort of stricture down, can narrow down for various reasons.
Okay, let me just interrupt there. How often does that happen?
That's a really common phenomenon. Not in he's a little young to have had that, but yeah.
It's common?
This is not what Jimmy had, but it is the most common complication of sexually transmitted diseases, I'd say.
It's a sexually transmitted disease?
No, that's not what I said. I do not want those rumors out there. That is absolutely categorically not
it's not
going on with Jimmy. But when you cause a severe infection or irritation of the urethra, which STDs do,
right.
sometimes it leaves behind a little scarring, and that's the narrowing of the urethra. And in Jimmy's case, we never did know what it was. It was not an STD. And they have various ways of doing it. And most of the time you're asleep, but they either put down these sort of hard rubber spikes.
Oh, my God.
Or sometimes they can put a wire and then put these little balls over the wire.
Oh, my God.
Wait, are we still talking about the same thing?
This is medieval. Spikes and barbs, and there's got to be a better tool, Drew.
Well, it's, you know, Theodoric of York taught us many days, years ago in the medieval times.
All right, Dr. Drew, why did this have to happen
twice?
Does once not do it?
Because it's a scar. When you break a scar up, another scar forms.
Oh, wow.
You know how that goes? And so it's not at all uncommon. Some people need to have it recurrently their whole life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So this generally happens when you're a lot older, or in the case of somebody that gets an STD, this could happen, a bad infection, right?
Yes. And although I'm not a urologist, so I can't quote these data off the top of my head, but my sense is, you know, I practiced medicine a long time, is that, yes, it's usually older, and yes, it's more common in women, in my experience.
That was my next question that came. Oh,
women.
Don't laugh. You're so dumb.
Well, up until this point, I thought I was the only one that had to worry.
But it is far more draconian when it happens to a male, because the there's this thing outside the body that mm-hmm. you've got to get through to get to the stricture oftentimes.
We get a lot of things put.
Yeah. Let me just back up. We've made a lot of advances in medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
How is driving a stake through it? How is that the answer to anything in 2015?
First of all, I'm surprised Corolla didn't pick this up. I've been complaining about dentistry as long as I've known him.
Right. This is horrible.
But the driving the spike through, let's be clear, it's down the urethra. It's not like into the penis. It's like down.
Oh, yeah. That makes it a lot better, Dr. Back. Drew.
Yeah.
That's not better. That's a terrible way to treat something. There's no medicine.
Well, you can be asleep. You can be asleep for it.
Why was Jimmy not asleep?
I don't really know. I thought that was peculiar, too, to tell you the truth. And I don't know that
better
he
better audio, I think, is what Kevin wants to say.
He was doing a lot for the sake of the show in those days.
Right?
You know, including having Kevin trail along with him to my office.
Yeah.
But he never – if you ever notice, he never says he wasn't asleep. He just knew he was having these spikes driven down his penis. That might have been enough.
Okay, so you think he may have been asleep, but just doesn't remember that? He has a pretty good memory.
No, it just makes a better story.
Okay.
Just leave that out.
All right. Well, it was weird. I did bring it up in Austin, and then we moved on and talked about a lot of other things, and somehow that one stuck out to people, and they all started asking him about
it. Not only did the press catch it, people were, like, asking me about it. It's weird.
Were you the doctor, Dr. Drew?
Dr.
Yes,
Drew
I
was the original doctor. Did you drive the stake?
No, I knew that was what he was going to need, though. I didn't deliver the news until I let the urologist do that.
That is bad news right there.
Good time, though.
All right. One other topic, now that we've got Jimmy's pee hole out of the way. Iboga? Iboga?
Ibogaine.
Ibogaine.
So this guy, what's his name again?
Scott Disick.
Disick, yeah. He has gone down to somewhere in Mexico to get, a special treatment. Everybody, when you get special treatment, I don't care what you're going for treatment for, you're going to get S treatment. You're going to get crappy treatment.
All right, Dr. Drew, first of all, it's in Costa Rica, and it's known as the Rhythmia Life Advancement Center Rehab Facility.
Then it must be good. So here's the deal with Ibogaine. It's not nothing. It's not zero. It's something. It needs more study. It's a very powerful hallucinogen, so therefore, like other hallucinogens, it carries the risk of brain damage, and there's great concern about that. It's a powerful one. Mostly used for opiate addiction. If an alcoholic is going down there, by the way, this guy apparently had been previously treated. If an alcoholic is going for ibogaine treatment, that to me suggests the alcoholism must be really bad. So we can, you know, ascertain that this guy really has got some problems.
Okay, but it's a real rehab place that actually rehabs?
I've never seen it incorporated in a medical setting. Usually it's down in Mexico. Usually it's sort of shaman-esque type stuff.
Yeah.
And it's usually opiate addicts that get it.
But
and it does work. For about 6 months, typically.
I don't understand how it treats addiction, though, because it's a hallucinogenic, so all of a sudden you're realizing things in the past,
no,
that type of thing?
No, it's absolutely not psychological.
Just kidding.
Yeah, clearly a biological injury to the brain. It just disrupts the chemistry in the brain, the reward system. We don't really know how yet. Like I said, it needs study. But along with disrupting the reward apparatus, it also, in my experience, because I've had a number of patients go down and try this over the years, and they come back with very bizarre personality changes as well. They're not the same person, which is interesting.
Really? Personality changes?
Right. So here you have brain damage, personality changes. At what risk is it worth getting what is only reliably 6 months of abstinence. Now, I have spoken to people whom I did not see a personality change, and they had kind of a sustained effect. They seemed to be okay for a few years. So it does happen. The question is, how do you select the person for whom that's likely to be? How do you dose this? How many expose? It's Wild West. No one knows what to do with this stuff.
Can you get your hands on it?
Yes.
Dave, the King of Mexico, would like to try it.
He already has. He was at my house this morning, and he
no.
a huge dose.
No, seriously.
Notice the way he is? Did you see him at that wedding? Did you see the pictures?
Did you see him dancing?
Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Good Lord, thank you. The good Lord had nothing to do with that.
No, he did not.
Dr. Drew, we always appreciate your time. Dr. Drew, of course, is on Loveline, and that is K-Rock Sunday to Thursday nights. Dr. Drew on Call is on HLN. That's Monday to Thursday at 6 p.m. He's on KABC Monday to Friday at noon.
Seriously.
And he's got like 17 podcasts. We appreciate your time, Dr.
Drew.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
It's 7:54 on the world-famous K-Rock. You were listening to the best of Kevin and Bean, best in quotes, because let's face it, come on. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. How good can we get? Answer, not very. Now, I'm Ralph Garman. This is the Showbiz Beat. The boys are on vacation, but I am still here slaving over a hot microphone for you because I love you and they don't, let's face it. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm nursing a bit of a Father's Day hangover. I'm probably the only father who actually gets loaded on Father's Day. But I had a good time last night with the kid, and we went out for Mexican food, and I had 17 pitchers of margaritas, so I don't recommend it. But it's nice because when Kevin and Bean are gone, I get to nap between showbizes, and it's a pleasant experience. But we do the Showbiz Beat every Monday morning. We take a look at the box office. Today is no different. As expected, the dinosaurs still rule the earth. Jurassic World, $102 million in its second week.
What?
Right? That's madness. I'll tell you how successful this film is. It is on pace to become the fastest film ever to cross the $1 billion mark at the global box office. It should do that sometime today, just 13 days after its initial release. The previous winner, Furious 7, took 17 days to make the $1 billion mark. So Jurassic World will crush that sometime this afternoon. $102 million in its second week, made it number one at the box office. Inside Out also did very well. Got to see that yesterday morning with the kid. We had a good time at the Arclight there in Sherman Oaks. $91.1 million made it number two. Then Spy, San Andreas, Dope, Insidious Chapter 3, Pitch Perfect 2 was seventh. Mad Max Fury Road, Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Tomorrowland were your top 10 movies at the box office. Sad news, Snow White is dead. The very first Snow White. First woman ever to play Snow White at the Magic Kingdom at Disneyland, gone at the age of 91. Her name was Joanne Dean Killingsworth. She would greet all the kids and be the fantasy of little boys everywhere. I know I had the hots for Snow White when I was a kid. At the age of 91, she has passed away. No word yet on the cause of death, but authorities are looking into a poison apple. See, because this is Snow White. Jessica Simpson and her mom, Tina, talking about going to rehab together. Apparently, mom has been drowning her sorrows in vodka while divorcing Joe Simpson, the father of the family. And Jessica Simpson, well, she just likes booze and Adderall. Here's a combo. Who could have thought Jessica Simpson had a drinking problem? I don't know. I heard her on the red carpet not too long ago, and she sounded fine.
Right now, I am starting a record, and I am getting into a lot of other fun things. Mm-hmm. Fashion will always be a part of who I am.
Sure.
And it literally, like, if I'm not wearing a good outfit, I can't sing a good song.
Right.
So, it really all kind of just works together. Mm-hmm. And I have a recording studio in my house so I can be around my babies as well.
Right.
And they might try and sing over me.
Mm-hmm.
they won't be my background vocalist. They'll, like, be, they'll be up front and personal.
Put the bottle down, Jess. Dave Grohl may be out of commission, but you can do something to cheer him up. You can leave a virtual message on his broken leg at signdavescast.com. A ton of those signatures will be printed out on a cast sleeve that Dave can actually wear. Six metal screws, by the way, in that leg. Ouch.
And Smashing Pumpkins are on acoustic tour right now. Billboard.com says they did something very cool last week in Munhall, Pennsylvania. Billy Corgan and the bass player did every song off Pumpkins' 1991 debut album, Gish. In just 6 minutes, Billy made some snide comments about a few of the tunes, so even he doesn't like the Smashing Pumpkins sometimes. He's got an ass full of that band as well. And it looks like they are taking another successful TV series and making a motion picture out of it. This is inexplicable to me. It's from 1973 was the TV series. It starred a guy named Telly Savalas. You may or may not remember a series called Kojak. But apparently they're making a movie based on that series because there are so many Kojak fans that are demanding a big screen version of Kojak.
Nope.
That they had to make. Well, you love Kojak, right?
Nope.
Oh. Vin Diesel will apparently play the bald-headed cop who loves to suck on lollipops.
Nope.
That was his thing. He was a cop who liked lollipops. He was a tough guy, but he enjoyed a good lollipop.
Nope.
And so Vin Diesel will play him. I guess they had to find somebody who was bald for Vin to play, and so they went back to the 70s for Kojak. Seems really unnecessary. Today's celebrity birthdays. Meryl Streep is 66 years old today. Cindy Lauper is 62. I wonder if she still likes to have fun. All right, I'll put that in the file. Carson Daly's 42. Randy Couture from MMA. He is 52 years old today. Bruce Campbell turns 57. Actor Donald Faison. You know him from Scrubs. 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm still chuckling over that audio that we played yesterday of Stephen Hawking, maybe the smartest guy in the world, the theoretical physicist who was asked that question about One Direction. He's so cool and handled that, and I don't know if they planned that out ahead of time, but he handled that with such humor.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't expect him to be so funny, but he really is. If you missed it yesterday, here's the question again. The guy on stage was reading questions that were submitted from the audience to ask Stephen Hawking, and here's the answer he came up with.
What do you think is the cosmological effect of Zayn leaving One Direction and consequently breaking the hearts of millions of teenage girls across the world?
Finally, a question about something important. My advice to any heartbroken young girl is to pay close attention to the study of theoretical physics. Because one day, there may well be proof of multiple universes. It would not then be beyond the realms of possibility that somewhere outside of our own universe lies another different universe. And in that universe, Zayn is still in One Direction.
It's good news.
This girl may even like to know that in another possible universe, she and Zayn are happily married.
He's giving
making teenage girls happy.
Yeah.
So we thought it might be fun, since we have a good relationship with the doctor, to get Stephen Hawking back on the phone. And yesterday on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, we were asking you what kinds of questions would you ask Stephen Hawking. And we have some of those that we're going to run by the man himself right now. Hi, Dr. Hawking. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. Thank you.
Well, we're great, but I was surprised to see that you will answer questions even if they don't have anything to do with science.
I am freaking smart.
Right.
I know a lot of things about a lot of things.
Okay. Well, let me ask you one that one of our listeners weighed in with this morning after that heartbreaking loss for the Los Angeles Clippers last night. He wants to know if the Clippers will ever win a championship.
My advice to any heartbroken Clippers fan from the game last night is, there is no other universe where the Clippers will ever win a championship.
That seems a little harsh.
No universe ever, ever, ever.
So Zayn from One Direction might be married to this girl in another universe, but the Clippers...
But there is no chance that the Clippers will ever win a championship.
Okay. All right, Carla from Los Angeles wants to know if you have an idea who's going to be the president in 2016. Can you guess that?
We will all be shocked and surprised when Rob Corddry becomes president.
Oh, that would be... Are you serious?
That would be so awesome.
No.
He's not just a joke.
No.
He got us all excited for a guy wearing clown makeup. All right. How about this one? What's the worst place to be right... I think this guy is joking, but there's a lot of bad news coming out of two spots in the world right now, Doctor. What's the worst place to be right now, Nepal or Baltimore?
Neither. The worst place to be right now is Khloe Kardashian's vagina.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Allie, did you see one you liked?
I see them.
Yeah, with a big fight coming up this weekend, I want to know the answer to this as well. Mayweather or Pacquiao?
It doesn't matter who wins that fight because I will kick the ass of whoever wins. I want winner. I will kick their biatch ass.
So you're throwing that out now. You've got next.
Bring it, biatches.
Got it. Got it.
I know you're very smart and obviously very funny. I don't see you much winning a boxing match, though.
I've been saving up my energy for all these years.
Yes, you have.
Wait till I get out of this goddamn chair.
With all the places that you've been able to travel and all the experience you've had and the Theory of Everything movie and everything you went through with going through Hollywood, everything, is there anything left that you want to do, Stephen Hawking? What is on your bucket list?
I want a six-way with the Spice Girls.
Wow. Just going right for six, all six.
Yes, I want to investigate all of the black holes.
Okay.
That may exist.
Wow.
In the universe.
Oh, in the universe.
Okay.
Okay, good.
That was my second thing on my bucket list. It had nothing to do with the black girl from the Spice Girls.
Understood. Okay, good.
Sorry for the confusion.
All right, Jim in Woodland Hills wants to know, what is the most confusing subject that you've ever tackled?
I have dealt with many different physics questions that are a bit mind-bending.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But nothing is more confusing to me than Kevin's question for Muse.
What's that?
Kevin's question for Muse.
From this show? Were you listening to the show when we had Muse in?
Oh, hell yes. What the F were you talking about?
Well, I guess I have to play the moment with, so we can...
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of feel... do you feel the emotion when you wrote it, later when you're playing it? And that was a poorly asked question. Can I take that again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Holy crap, you are dumb.
I always feel like when Ralph says, "Hey, can you guys carve me out some time? I've got some thoughts on the Kevin and Bean show." It doesn't seem like it's ever good news for us.
It is good news.
Really? You're coming in to say great job, guys?
An unexamined life is not worth living.
I have heard that.
Yes, and that is true. So this way, you get a chance to reflect. You get a chance to step outside and take another look with fresh eyes. You get to see your progress.
Right, but I think sometimes you don't want to look at the game tape when you've lost as badly as we've lost.
How else are you going to keep from losing that badly
if
again if you
Seahawks,
don't look at the game
tape? Are you looking at that game today?
Yeah.
No,
because
you're waiting.
You don't want that play ever to happen again, right?
Right.
So let's spend a little time in the film room, boys.
Okay.
Everybody take a knee.
All right. All right. What did we do this time, Ralph?
Here's the thing about Kevin and Bean, boys and girls, for those of you who are listening. Under the best of situations, they are fair to middling.
Thank you, Ralph.
But when you bring a really attractive woman into the mix, when you bring in a supermodel or a porn star or, in this case, a commercial model like Boobs McFadden, she was
Charlotte McKinney.
That's it. Whatever her name.
Yeah, Carl's Jr.
Yeah, Cans Malone.
Uh-huh.
She was from the Carl's Jr. ad
right.
from the Super Bowl, where she's walking around naked with her boobs flopping, and Kevin and Bean insisted on having her in on the show to talk to her.
I think that's a worthwhile interview subject, don't you, Ralph?
No, because she, as a sweet girl, didn't have a whole lot to say, and you guys were just embarrassing as you fell over your own units. Trying to impress her, and
how dare you?
You were giggling like 5-year-olds, and it was just—it was a nightmare. It was a
how
trailer.
Dare you?
It was just tragic to hear you two act like 12-year-olds trying to impress the prettiest girl in the class.
Look, I was expecting you to mock us. I wasn't expecting nightmare.
Well, don't be a nightmare then.
Come on now.
Kevin kicks things off as we go back over the game tape. He's just trying to be sympathetic for how hard it must be for her right now to be her.
Are you in a fog of a schedule right now? Just crazy going?
A fog of schedule, I think, is second only to a moment of party in the pantheon of what the F does that mean?
It's a fog of schedule. That
what is a fog of schedule?
I didn't say it right.
Play that clip play again.
I'd rather not. Are you in a fog of a schedule right now? Just crazy going?
Are you a fog of schedule? What was your question?
That I have been working with Kevin so long that I don't even hear stuff like
that. You didn't
hear
anymore. Fog of schedule?
I didn't even notice. It sounded completely like a regular Kevin question to me.
I saw fog of schedule as true, by the way. They're outstanding. So, Cance McNamara says that
Charlotte McKinney.
Yeah. Says that her boobs have always been so big that they've sort of been a problem for her.
Right.
All right, now, isn't this great radio? Isn't this a good radio interview? Is this what you want to hear when you tune into the Kevin and Bean show?
And her sister recommended that maybe she get a breast reduction.
All right.
That did not go over well in this particular room.
Did you ever think, I'm getting the message that my boobs are too big from so many people? If I want to move on, I'm going to have to do something about that and make them smaller.
You know what? It was a thought. Like, my sister was always like, maybe he should get a reduction.
First of all, your sister should die, but go ahead.
First of all, your sister should die.
Well, I didn't mean literally. I just meant that's a
that was
bad...
your comedy. That was your comedy comment?
Yeah.
Death to your sister. Well, that was the keeping things light?
I felt like that was funnier before it came out. It was funny.
Do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
First of all, your sister should die.
Well, I can't think of any circumstances
where
that's ever funny.
But I'm not talking about for real.
Right.
I'm just saying.
So what was the comic element of that then? What was the fantastical part of it?
It was then? That's an absurd thing that's an absurd advice.
Right.
So
your sister should be locked up in a dungeon for that something along those lines.
That's the same because she...
That's the same.
Yes, because
as
you
your sister should die.
Because you wouldn't expect either of those to actually happen.
Your sister should be hit with a trank dart, something like along those lines.
Well, that would have been better.
Your sister should die, maybe a little on the harsh side.
Fog of schedule, sister should die.
even for Melons Malone, I think she was a little taken aback by that.
She thought it was funny.
She should have been, by the way, taken back by kill my sister.
Yeah, I think so. Listen to how you guys fawn all over her in this next segment.
Well, she's pretty.
So can't you be a grown-ass man and just suck it up and pretend that you've seen a pretty girl before?
Look at her, though, Ralph. I think we did pretty darn well considering how huge her boobs are. Come on.
Listen to this.
Either this tall model girl who's flat-chested who kind of looks like a guy or, you know, me with curves. And guys like that. And,
yes. Guys like it very much.
We do. They
Why
do.
Am
they
I
do.
The only one applauding?
Yeah,
no,
right.
I got your back here, Kevin.
Come on now.
I got your back, Kevin. I'm applauding you. I'm applauding your big boobies. Aren't you embarrassed?
Not even a little bit.
Not
really. For that.
All right.
No.
Then she talks about how rough it was for her growing up. And how she was bullied. And you know, sometimes when you're talking about women being sort of catty to each other, sometimes you'll make the sound of a cat and you'll go, "Rear."
Right.
Right?
Right.
Bean tries to make that sound.
Oh, that's what the tweet. I got a tweet from somebody saying, please isolate Bean making the cat sound. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
We're going to get you up there. We're going to play it. And then we have it about three times afterwards so you can really hear it. But anyone talking about a cat would go,
right.
Please listen to the attempt.
I hope you kept every one of their names so that you could send them a copy of your Carl's Jr. ad. How you
guys,
like me now, bitch?
I just want you to have this copy. Here's a shirt signed by me. Have a good week in your trailer. They're probably all pregnant now, but, you know, whatever. All right, now that you pointed out.
What is that?
Was that the cat thing?
Is that a cat sound?
You knew that's what I was trying to do. It sort of sounded like it a little bit. I think the message got across.
Hang on.
Right, that's the best thing ever.
Or she's trying to start her motorcycle. I'm not sure which.
Wow. I've worked with Bean too long that I didn't hear that.
It sounds like an old crank-up siren underwater.
This is just like when I was trying to do the dog pound with Arsenio Hall that time. I can't do dog sounds. Apparently, I can't do cat sounds
either. I think you're doing both perfectly well.
We got it again?
Yes.
No? No, come on. What's wrong with you two?
A lot, Ralph. You know that. A lot.
So you're saying it went well?
Then you sent her on her way by insulting her, which I thought was a nice touch. You came all the way around from just pandering and laughing at everything she said to saying that Joe Dirt was going to be the worst movie ever. And she's going to be in it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then Kevin defends it, telling Bean she's going to be in it, and then Kevin trashes it and says, well, don't oversell it. It's not going to be good.
I wasn't defending it as much as I was defending the fact that she was going to be in it.
Play it.
I have my Joe Dirt 2 movie coming out in the summer. So.
And there's no way you can stop that movie from coming out?
She's in it.
I'm in it.
I'm just saying.
It's going to be great.
She's in the
movie. Speaking for the rest of us.
Come on. It's going to be an amazing movie.
I'm sure it is.
Well, I think she may have oversold it is what I'm saying. I was defending only the fact that she's in the movie, so maybe don't. But then she had to go and say it's going to be great.
Well, it was time.
What am I supposed to do with that?
Time well spent with Sweater Puppies McGee.
Charlotte McKinney. Did you see the story about this dude who gets drunk from eating carbohydrates?
I have heard of this before.
You have?
I have, yeah.
He eats bread and gets drunk.
I didn't know the name before. Autobrewery syndrome is what it's called. This is a rare condition that they've only really had on their radar in the medical world for about 10 years or so. But it's people who have a problem. They have some sort of yeast imbalance in their stomach, and it turns carbohydrates into alcohol. So you have a sandwich, and the next thing you know, you're walking around like you've just had 10 beers. I mean, I imagine this would suck.
Yeah, in the story, the guy didn't know that it was happening, so his wife was like looking through the house for his stash of alcohol. Where's your alcohol? Tell me!
Thought he was a closet drinker, right. And then started logging everything he ate, videotaping him. Insane!
And then she videotaped him, and he went, wait a minute, I do look completely drunk. What's happening?
Nick Hess is one patient's name in this article. He says, it was weird. I'd eat some carbs, and then all of a sudden, I was goofy. He would get sick with stomach pains, headaches. Every day for a year, I would wake up and vomit. Sometimes it would come on over the course of a few days. Sometimes it was just like, bam, I'm drunk. He didn't drink a drop, but no one believed him because he seemed drunk all the time. I don't know if
I don't drink either, dude.
So, just eat a lot of chips.
Whatever.
I don't know where they are on finding a cure for this, but I know it sounds like fun because it's, you know, a cheap way to get drunk, but I think it would be miserable to not be able to eat any carbs without ending up like this. So, we thought we'd find out what the life is like for Mr. Nick Hess, who joins us on the phone right now. He is a patient who has this autobrewery syndrome. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, sir.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I mean, you must have been so disturbed by discovering your condition, but also relieved when it was finally figured out what was going on in your stomach, right?
Of course, it's much better to know that what's happening than just to wonder, because as you mentioned, it was just highly confusing to go about the day, suddenly feeling disoriented, acting out, being inappropriate in social situations.
Sure.
And then completely for no reason at all. It was quite confusing, frankly, for myself and my family.
And people just wouldn't believe you when they would accuse you of being drunk. You would say, no, I haven't had anything, and there was no other explanation in their minds, right?
No, they thought perhaps it was a mental illness. We couldn't comprehend really why my behavior would alter so, and then why physically I would have the horrible physical side effects of nausea and vomiting. And so, luckily, they discovered, as you mentioned, it was simply an overabundance of yeast in my stomach that apparently would take the carbohydrates, much as when you brew beer, and that was the result, was the alcohol.
So what do you do now? Do you just have to stay away from all carbs?
No, well, it's hard, because right now, like, for example, I'm having breakfast, and there's some toast on the table. It just looks so good. It's so hard to resist, you know? So I'm just going to have a little bit of
toast.
Well, that doesn't... Don't...
You got to be careful with that, Nick, with your condition.
Wow,
that's so funny, isn't it? Why do they call it toast? It's not like he's raising a glass and saying, oh, here's the bride and groom. It's just burnt bread.
That works so quick.
What a day is cooler than what it is. Stupid horse.
What? What's happening?
Horse, I don't know what this is called.
Nick, we were having a very reasonable conversation 1 minute ago. This is terrible.
Sorry about that.
Out of his system now.
I feel so much better now. Sorry if I said anything inappropriate.
Nick, you wanted toast changed to horse.
We think.
Oh, that's tragic. I'm terribly sorry if I offended anyone with that.
Okay. Well, I just... I feel like you just got to learn that you just can't have toast. I mean, you just have to take that off the list.
No, not at all. I'm starving. I'm going to have this English muffin instead because I...
Oh, be no, Nick. Don't seriously. Don't muffin. There's bread in that, too.
Oh. English muffin is what I used to call my wife's vajayjay.
Oh, come on.
Sometimes it'd have jam on it.
Oh, Nick.
There's a lot of nooks and crannies.
Very
and then
disturbing.
I found out my neighbor Thomas was having sex with her. So I guess it was Thomas's English muffin.
Okay.
Right. Tell me about her vagina.
Poor guy. This is horrible.
Oh, terribly sorry.
Wow.
I didn't say anything inappropriate.
You don't want to know what you were telling us about your wife's vagina, Nick.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about an English muffin, was I?
Oh, you were.
You are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 8:55 here on a Monday morning. It's your old pal Ralph here walking the show biz beat. Even though Kevin and Bean are on vacation, I'm still bringing you all the news that is entertainment, like we do every Monday morning. I always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Let's do that right now, shall we? No surprise, Jurassic World still number one at the box office. I think it is surprising, though, how much money it made in its second weekend. Over $102 million, which would be a great opening weekend for most films. This is why Jurassic World is going to become the fastest film to ever reach the $1 billion mark at the global box office. Should do it sometime today. Inside Out from Pixar, Disney, came out this weekend, did very well in its debut. $91.1 million. Got some of my money this weekend. Spy was third. San Andreas, Dope, in its debut, made $6 million at number 5. Insidious Chapter 3 was 6th. Then Pitch Perfect 2, Mad Max Fury Road, Avengers Age of Ultron, Tomorrowland, and Entourage at number 11. I don't know why we're doing 11 this morning, but they gave me a bonus one, so you got that too. Speaking of Inside Out, real quick review. Saw it with the kid yesterday with a little Father's Day family outing to the movies, and I was so blown away by this film. It's really great. It's great for grown-ups. It's great for kids. I cried like a bitch. That's right. K-Rock microphones were there. That was me just bawling into my popcorn. It's touching. Sue me for having a heart. Hey, by the way, today's no panty day, Los Angeles. Just want to give you a heads up, no panty day. So, in honor, I'm not wearing my panties today. Yeah. No panty day. Who comes up with something like that? Was it Bean? Probably. I hope you had, if you have tickets for the Van Halen tour, I hope you got them early in the tour because it sounds like they're on their way to breaking up again. Eddie Van Halen told Billboard magazine that he and singer David Lee Roth just aren't getting along again. The summer tour starts on July the 5th and runs through October 4th. Boy, I hope you've got shows early if you do have tickets. Here's his quote. Roth's perception of himself is different than who he is in reality. We're not in our 20s anymore. We're in our 60s. Act like you're 60. I stopped coloring my hair because I know I'm not going to be young again. Well, this Dave wears a hat because he's gone bald. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Meryl Streep, 66 years old today. Cyndi Lauper is 62. Carson Daly, one of the good guys. Not only a host of The Voice, but works right down the hallway here at AMP FM. He is 42 years old. Randy Couture, MMA fighter, is 52 years old. Bruce Campbell celebrates his 57th birthday. Donald Faison, you know him from Scrubs, he is 41. All those celebrity birthdays, I'm going to send each and every one of those guys a birthday cake emoji. I'm going to text them. I'm hip. I'm like the kids. I'm going to send out emojis to all those people. Birthday cakes for all of them. Speaking of emojis, those emojis will be sponsored by Chevy. Head over to ChevyGoesEmoji.com and see what everybody is talking about. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, is Ralph joining us for this? To talk to his little friend
he is,
here?
Yes, he's on his way.
Okay. By the way, 9 o'clock this morning, once again, we got tickets for you to join U2 at the Roxy, the biggest band in the world, playing the smallest club of the world. First time in 40 years they played a venue this small, and you can win your way in. You cannot buy these tickets. You can win them from K-Rock every hour from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. again today. So that means 45 minutes from right now or less, you'll be able to win. All right, Ralph, what's going on? What's the situation here?
Well, I'm just really concerned for a dear, dear friend of mine, and she is a good friend of mine and my wife. She's like an aunt to our daughter, Olivia. We love Gabby, is her name. And we just think she's one of the greatest people we know, except for the fact that she's
she's got an issue. She's got a problem, and we're concerned about her.
Is that going to get in the way of your friendship?
I don't know. It might if she does what she's threatening to do.
What is she threatening to do?
Be all weird and creepy.
Hi, Gabby. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Good morning. How's it going?
It's going great. Thank you so much for joining us. What has got Ralph so concerned right now?
I think it has to do with the fact that I have a dog, and she's my first pet that, like, I've owned on my own.
Right.
I've had dogs before with, like, you know, family.
Mm-hmm.
But she's really close to me, and mm-hmm. I love her to death. And should she, you know, when she passes, I would like to have her rearticulated.
You would like to have her what?
Rearticulated.
Is that when you swallow her and then vomit her back up?
No, that's regurgitated.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Yeah. What does that word mean?
What it means is you just take her bones and you, form a skeleton out of it, and you can pose them into different positions. And
wait, so
yeah.
And she wants to put it on display in her home, her bone dog, her dog of bones.
Yes.
So like an art piece almost, because it's not stuffed. It's just the bones.
Nope. Not taxidermy.
Why wouldn't you go taxidermy?
It's not her dog looking like her dog. It's just the bleached, boiled bones, Allie, wired together like you'd see at the Natural History Museum in her house.
All right, let me just ask you, Gabby, and the question is, taxidermy equals the dog looks like your dog.
No,
why would you go the bone route?
No, that's creepy, she said.
No. What did she say? That's creepy?
Yes, taxidermy's creepy.
Taxidermy's creepy because it is her, but it's not, you know, the eyes are fake. It's just not right. Like, to me,
but the bones are better. The dog bones.
But how are the bones more her, that with no skin, no fur, no eyes, no tail?
Because it's her. It's, you know, there's DNA in there, so I know that it's her and it's her bones, whereas... Yeah, taxidermy just seems really creepy. Like,
yeah, that's way creepy.
Right. So when friends come to your house, they look in the corner of your bedroom, and there's your dog bones standing there.
Standing.
You want him sitting, right?
I want her sitting. She's going to be sitting with her hind legs and, you know, a tail wrapped around. And then I want to have her head cocked.
She's not going to have a tail.
She's going to have a tail. It's not a bone.
There's a bone in the tail.
Is there a bone in the tail?
I believe there's a tailbone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is a small dog, I assume.
No, it's a German Shepherd.
What?
Gabby!
It's a big-ass German Shepherd.
Where are you going to put this?
Just like in the living room, like when you walk in.
Oh, just in the living room, okay.
That's all.
Right when you walk in the door. Gabby, have you done any research into this? Is this a thing that people do? Is it offered?
Yes, you can. There's a lot of places that you can send in your dog. And
send in your dog.
And three cereal box tops. And we'll send you back some bones.
Could you send your dog in now and have it done?
No, because she's alive.
Oh, I see. Oh, that matters to you. Okay.
Yeah, we're crazy.
It matters to you. All right. So, Ralph, your question is, are you overreacting to how weird this makes you feel? Or is this a thing that people do that's okay, right? That's what we're trying
to
decide.
That's what we're trying to determine. Because she told me, and I was like, that is freaking weird. She goes, well, let's tell your wife, Carrie. I'm sure she'll understand. And she said, what do you think, Carrie? And Carrie said, that is freaking weird. So she said, I bet if you told Bean on your show, I think Bean would be down with that. Bean, what do you think?
I've never heard of this before. I get the taxidermy thing because you can pet your dog and it looks like your dog and it's like your dog is still around. I get that. I don't know that you get those warm fuzzies off of the pet skeleton, though. I mean, You're going to pet the dog bones.
I was petting a skeleton last night, actually.
I'm inclined to say it's okay. It's like it's kind of a personal decision. Whatever makes her happy, I'm fine with. But,
Ralph's question is it sort of you do
I'm
that?
I'm saying if you walk into somebody's house.
Right.
And you see a big pile of German Shepherd bones wired together in the corner of the room.
Yeah. I'm walking right back out.
If it's not Tim Burton's house, I'm thinking that's weird.
I just don't understand why it's considered weird. Like,
How many houses?
Dog bones in your house.
How many houses have you walked into, Gabby, where there were dog bones?
None.
Oh,
right.
Huh.
I feel like you could almost look like an art piece. So. But then when you tell people, what's your dog's name, Gabby?
Addie.
Then you say, no, that's Addie. That was my German Shepherd. Then it's real weird. Gabby.
Do we need Judges Kevin and Bean?
I think we need to put her in the courtroom.
Now entering the courtroom, Defendant Gabby, who wants to strip the flesh off her dead dog and put the bones in her living room like some sort of freaky statue. We will make a decision here, in this courtroom, with Judges Kevin and Bean.
All right, let's line up some witnesses. If you want to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067, you can either speak for the prosecution or the defense. What do you think about Gabby's decision to have a pet skeleton? 1-800-520-1067. Your testimony and a ruling coming up next on K-Rock. Kevin and Bean Court is in session. Let's ask the bailiff to reset for those just joining us.
In the courtroom is Defendant Gabby. She wants to turn her living room into a natural history museum by posting the dead bones of her German Shepherd where everyone can see. Creepy or not creepy? That decision will be made by Judges Kevin and Bean.
We are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to weigh in on this. Gabby, the defender, are you still there with us, dear?
I am.
All right, Fanta.
How's your dog doing?
She's good. She's lying next to me sleeping.
Oh, well, she doesn't know what she's in store for.
She doesn't.
She should be running like a scalded cat.
All right, let's take some witnesses, get them up here on the stand and find out what they have to say. Why don't we start with Josh, please, in Downey on line one. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, strange.
We're looking for some expert testimony on whether this is creepy or not creepy that my friend Gabby wants to put her beloved dog on display as bones when the dog passes away.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay, I got a couple of questions, actually. Is she also going to eat his heart to keep a little part of him inside of her after he's done?
That's a valid question, Gabby.
That's true. Gabby, are you planning on eating any part of your dog?
No, she will not be eaten.
You can make a stew. You could boil the flesh off the bones and make a nice stew.
You keep his heart in your belly. His heart in your belly.
See?
There you go. All right. I can't tell whether Josh is voting creepy or not creepy. Because Josh sounds pretty creepy himself.
I think we've just discredited the witness. I think we're just going to ask him to step down.
Yeah.
By the way, Gabby, as creepy as eating your dog's heart sounds to you, that's how creepy you keeping your dog's skeleton sounds to everybody else, just so you know. All right, let's move on to, look at this. Let's go to Phil. He's in Huntington Beach. He's on line four, our next witness.
All right, hi, Phil.
Hey, Phil, big shout out to IBEW Local 47 High Voltage Lineman. I worked as a troubleman, and I've seen dead people. It's my understanding that you can go down to the coroner's office, and if a body is unclaimed, you can request it. There's competition because medical schools want them, but hey, it's worth a try.
I'm scared.
What is happening right now?
I don't know. Wow. I love it.
I don't know who you are.
If I'm not mistaken, Phil is recommending you get a human body as well, maybe to get the bones of a human that you could pose with your dog.
I'll have a human skeleton petting my dog.
You don't want a human skeleton petting your dog?
Oh, sure. That's too weird for you, Gabby. Is that what you're saying? All right, no. Phil does not get to vote either. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Should we just qualify him as well?
Phil, yes. Phil's,
I'm afraid so.
Phil's scaring me.
What's happening with you people?
Well, that's what happens when you open up the bone talk.
Let's go to Torrance, please, and speak with the lovely Lauren. She is on line five. I think she's going to give us the first useful bit of testimony that we can use.
All Lauren, right. Hi.
Hi.
Lauren, what's your idea?
I don't think it's as creepy as if you gotten like a taxidermy done. So no, I don't think it's.
So you think the bones are less creepy than taxidermy?
Oh, by far! Like the taxidermy, the eyes are like staring at you, whereas the bones is kind of like sitting there.
Shut up, Gabby! You can't agree with her.
Yes.
You're not on the stand.
You're not on the stand. That's true. The bones' eyes won't be staring at me because there's no effing eyes in the bones.
But, Lauren, look, I'm not trying to argue with you. You're certainly entitled to your opinion. But, I mean, I think there are some who would say that the taxidermy is way less creepy because at least it looks like your pet. You can pet it. It has your pet's fur, your pet's feet.
Okay, to me, that's weird. That is so weird to me. Let me go pet my once-alive dog that is now sitting there.
Well, let me go pet my bones. Is that weird? Let me go pet the bones in the corner.
No, let me sit there and admire the anatomy of my once-alive dog. That's not as weird.
I think we got to discredit her as well. A lot of DQs going on here.
No, I think Lauren's opinion is valid, but I think there may be a love connection between her and Gabby. I'm not sure.
All right, let's move on to Laura next up in Glendora, please. She's on line two here in Kevin and Bean courtroom. Hey, Laura.
Hey, guys, I have a question. Are the bones movable?
Oh, good point.
No, they're not.
No, you have to put them in one position?
Why? Do you want to pose them in different ways around the house?
Yeah, I thought that if they're removable, it's not as creepy because you could come home and every time you come home, someone has in a different position. I thought it'd be kind of funny.
Like an action figure. Like a dead dog action figure.
What is happening?
I like Laura.
With you people.
So, Laura, creepy or not creepy to have a pet skeleton?
Okay, movable, not creepy. Not movable, creepy.
That's the weirdest distinction ever. If you can move it and put, like, a top hat on it and make it dance and stuff, if it's like a puppet, then it's okay.
All right. Yeah. I think that was a vote for creepy. By the way, Ken from Torrance writes in, what do you guys think about this? When my cat died, I buried it, but I recently dug up its bones, deciding I would display him. Right now, his skull is up on a shelf. My vote would be she's fine.
Well,
he buried
sure.
the cat and then dug the cat back up.
Keeper of the pet cemetery, yeah.
Did he dig it up with his paws?
He thinks it's fine.
All right.
What's
I'm afraid
happening?
That's all the time we're going to have for witness testimony here. Unfortunately, give me the music again. I think we're going to have to make some sort of a decision here on whether this is creepy or not creepy that Gabby wants to turn her dog into a pet skeleton. Ralph, what say you, please?
Well, you know where I stand in this. I think as much as Gabby loves Addie, and I know she does, I think maybe when it's time for Addie to go, it's time for Addie to go. I say no skeleton.
No skeleton. Allie, girls don't really get a vote, but let's hear what you have to say anyway.
Oh, thanks so much. You're very kind. After hearing all those calls, Gabby is the least creepy person around.
True.
So
true.
I'm going to go ahead with the bones,
wow.
Gabby.
One vote yes, bones. One vote no bones.
I agree with Allie, by the way. I think Gabby is starting to sound like the sanest lister we have, and I am satisfied that all she wants to do is have a pet skeleton compared to everybody else.
I agree as well, because I would like Ralph to walk into someone's house and see dog bones.
Well,
that makes me happy.
Gabby, I guess it's on.
Awesome. Thank you.
With our blessings, please enjoy.
You really have to dig very deep for our listeners to get super weird.
No, but you just scratch
right,
that surface.
It's right there.
You just lance that boil, and it all comes out.
Wow. Yep.
By the way, Phil, if you're still listening,
nope.
I'd like you to call the show every day.
Nope. I would too, please.
Every day, several times a day.
He's scared.
He's got a lot to offer.
He was the best.
He's got a lot to offer. What's your name? Allie.
Yeah.
And I think you too. Actually, there might be something.
Yep.
There might be a little.
Huh? I think so as well. Love connection.
A little magic.
I think so.
You are listening to the world famous K Rock. It is now 9:38 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Best of Kevin and Bean. You know the best thing about the best of Kevin and Bean? Very little Kevin and Bean here in the studio. Just me and Chip and Woo! Beer Mug. We're having a party, man.
Party!
You know why? Because it's no panty day. We found out it was no panty day. And so we're all enjoying life with no panties this morning. We're having a good time. Beer Mug took his off. You should see his panties. They're huge. Talk about granny panties. They're just massive. Let's get to the show business news. Every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. This Monday is no exception. Jurassic World continues just to crush at the box office. It is number one again this week. $102 million it made in its second weekend. It's amazing. Inside Out, in its debut weekend, also did very well for itself, $91.1 million. I watched it this weekend with the kid, and boy, it's a great film. Just great performances by Lewis Black as Anger, naturally, and Amy Poehler plays Joy, and Phyllis from The Office. I wish I could remember the actress's name, but she was terrific as Sadness, and Bill Hader as Fear, and then Mindy Kaling as Disgust. Those are the five emotions inside the head of this little girl named Riley. It's a very entertaining film. If you've got kids, definitely check it out. You will all have a good time at the movies. Spy was third. San Andreas was fourth. Dope, in its debut, made $6 million, good enough to make it number five. Insidious Chapter 3 was sixth. Pitch Perfect 2 was seventh. Mad Max Fury Road, Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Tomorrowland rounded out the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Sad news. Another child actor gone off the rails. I don't know why you would ever want to get your kid into show business, because no good ever seems to come from it unless you're Ron Howard. But the kid who played young Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars 1, I guess it is, Jake Lloyd was his name, played Anakin in The Phantom Menace. He was arrested after a high-speed chase in Charleston, South Carolina, over the weekend.
No!
That's That's right, Annie. He was charged with failing to stop for officers and then reckless driving as they went on a speeding chase of over 100 miles an hour. He was crossing the double yellow line going into the opposing traffic. It all ended 25 miles later when he drove off of Interstate 95, plowed through a fence, then continued speeding along a road that dead-ended into a wooded area, and he hit several trees. That's what finally made him stop. And he was, as you can imagine, arrested. Sad news. 26 years old, Jake Lloyd, now in police custody in South Carolina. His passenger reportedly said to the police,
"Me no like how Annie drive."
See, charge your picks. Who's the passenger? I think it's time for Jessica Simpson maybe to take a long, hard look at herself. Her mom, Tina, is trying to talk her into accompanying her into a rehab facility, according to reports. Apparently, mom has been hitting the sauce pretty hard since the divorce started with her husband, Joe Simpson, who reportedly now is a likes the fellas. That's just a rumor. But apparently that was the source of their divorce. So mom's been hitting the sauce pretty good. And they say Jess also, despite her success with her fashion line and whatnot, does have a taste for vodka and Adderall. Sounds so good right about now. That sounds like a cocktail I could get behind. The two of them reportedly heading into rehab together. I guess you get some sort of family discount if you take your mom with you. I think maybe it's a good idea. You remember this from Jessica Simpson on the red carpet recently?
Right now I am starting a record, and I am getting into other fun things. Fashion will always be a part of who I am.
Right.
And it like a good outfit. I can't sing a good song.
Right.
So, it really all kind of just works together. And I have a recording studio in my house so I can be around my babies as well. And they might try and sing over me. They won't be my background vocalist. They'll be they'll be up front and personal.
Oh man, get Dr. Drew on the phone. Need an intervention. We're headed towards the end of a showbiz beat here, so let's. I'm going to tweet out an emoji. I'm going to tweet out the checkered flag as we cross the finish line here. All these emojis sponsored by Chevy. Head over to ChevyGoesEmoji.com and see what everybody's talking about. Here is today's celebrity birthdays. June the 22nd, these celebrities were born today. Meryl Streep, 66 years ago. We got the gift that is thespian Meryl Streep. Cyndi Lauper's 62. Carson Daly's 42. Randy Couture, 52 years old today. Bruce Campbell turns 57. Donald Faison, you know him from Scrubs, of course, and other projects. He is 41 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.